Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, October 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, coronavirus-related crowd restrictions for both indoor and outdoor events were loosened for most of Pennsylvania on Tuesday by Governor Tom Wolf, who called the shift a gradual adjustment to our lives as we learn how we can do things safely until there is a vaccine for the virus or a cure for the disease. The rules, which go into effect on Friday, October 9th, will dramatically increase the current limits, allowing bigger crowds at a range of events, including school sports. However, Philadelphia officials said the new rules will not go into effect for the city of Philadelphia on Friday. In a news conference held shortly after Wolf's announcement, Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley said city officials will review the guidelines and expect to have an update on Tuesday, October 13th. Farley said Philadelphia has unique considerations, including the fact that it is the largest, most densely populated city in the state. It has been the hardest hit by the virus, and it has large venues that attract people from across the state and country. Wolf's announcement acknowledged the cities such as Philadelphia can establish their own guidelines. The extra time to review Wolf's decision will not impact Lincoln Financial Field, since the Eagles are on the road this weekend to face the Steelers in Pittsburgh. A statement issued by the Steelers president on Tuesday afternoon said that they are limited to 7,500 people at Heinz Field for Sunday's game, including players, coaches, stadium staff, etc. Based on the limitations, 5,500 seats will be made available for fans. According to the statement, priority will be given to season ticket holders.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in going. It's not that important to me to go to a live sporting event. However, you got to figure, like, you probably have never had, like, more optimal conditions to go to a live professional football
game.
With
less people there?
Less people. Yeah, yeah.
Talking to people
cities.
On the news last night, echoing exactly what you're saying. Just for, I can't believe this. Look at this. A lot of people are considering going. So,
it's almost like a private, personal showing.
Right. One night only. Yeah. Your own football game. Yeah.
The state health secretary, Dr. Rachel Levine, cautioned that the changes may not be permanent and that they are still closely monitoring cases and outbreaks. Delaware State Police announced the arrest of a 19-year-old Newark man in connection with the murder of his ex-girlfriend. Police said on Friday, October 2nd, at approximately 8:30 in the evening, 17-year-old Madison Sparrow was reported missing by a family member after she didn't return home. Investigators say they obtained information that Madison went to meet her ex-boyfriend, Noah Sharp. Detectives said an investigation revealed that Madison died from blunt force trauma to her body. Police said after the homicide occurred, she was transported to a secluded wooded location in Newark, where law enforcement officers later discovered her body. According to police, there is information indicating additional individuals may have been involved with this homicide. Police said Sharp was taken into custody and charged with murder, possession of a deadly weapon, and conspiracy. Sharp was arraigned and committed to Howard R. Young Correctional Institution. Police said the investigation remains active and ongoing. Anyone with information regarding this case is asked to contact Detective Sappo with the Delaware State Police Homicide Unit. Ursinus College in Montgomery County says it's aggressively investigating two incidents involving an intruder reportedly entering the unlocked dorm room of female students. The first incident happened in a suite at Remert Hall at the college. The female student said that she thought she was dreaming, but the sound of a man trying to break into her dorm room woke her up early Sunday morning. The suspect was able to gain entry from an unlocked door to the suite. One of the girls said what as the suspect walked in. He then turned around and ran out. Campus police described the suspect as an unknown white male, approximately 30 years old, with a slim to medium build and about 5'10 in height.
What's the occupancy level of Ursinus right now?
Good question.
Yeah, I have no idea, but Reimert was the party place, right? So, and it's a quad. When I was there, you couldn't get into Reimert Hall unless you had like a key, right? Now it's this is how you explain it. It's you know, a four-sided dorm with a courtyard in the middle.
Right.
And there used to be doors, and you wouldn't be able to get into the courtyard unless you had a key. Now they remove those doors so anybody can get into the courtyard, and anybody can access these suites if the suite doors are unlocked.
I wonder why they changed that.
Well, they wanted to ensure less security.
seriously.
Well, also, because you couldn't get into the dorm, like, the suite doors were open, right? Now, I guess the suite doors...
Suite doors are now locked
as a, you know, as a constant, right? So that
Well, whatever it is, this guy got in. Yeah. So whatever the deal is, it maybe needs to be readdressed.
So then the university sent out a second alert about a similar incident around 4:46 a.m. Monday morning when a man reportedly entered a female student's unlocked dorm room in New Hall Dorm. The alert states that the female student remained quiet for 5 minutes before the man left the room. Campus police described this suspect as a college-age white male wearing cargo shorts and his hair was covering his face. It's not clear if the same person is behind the incidents, but in both, nothing was stolen, no students were harmed, and the doors were unlocked. Anyone with information is asked to contact public campus safety.
Years ago, I was at a sorority house. I was attending a funeral for a girl who died in a kiln explosion.
And did you need dates for your friends?
I did.
Yeah, I remember
just to attend, but I got in very easily.
That's good.
Who's going to make a pot for me?
Oh my God.
Yeah, don't bring it up. I'll start tearing up right on the spot.
All right, in sports this morning. The LA Lakers are back in control of the NBA Finals, one win away from the franchise's 17th championship.
What the f*** is it?
LeBron James finished with 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. Anthony Davis hit a three-pointer with 39 seconds left, and the Lakers beat the Miami Heat 102-96 in Game 4. The Lakers lead the series 3-1 and can win the title when the series resumes on Friday. In the baseball playoffs, the Atlanta Braves won Game 1 of their NLDS, beating the Miami Marlins 9-5. In the late game, the LA Dodgers beat the San Diego Padres 5-1. And then in the American League, the Houston Astros beat the Oakland A's 5-2 and now lead that series 2-0. And the Tampa Bay Rays beat the New York Yankees 7-5. That series is now tied up at one game apiece. And the Flyers selected Tyson Forster with the 23rd overall pick in the 2020 NHL draft. Forster is an 18-year-old right winger who was born in Alliston, Ontario. In 62 regular season games, he led the Barry Colts in every offensive category, including points, power play goals, and power play assists.
I think it's the first time they ever selected a guy currently in elementary school.
The shirt I'm wearing is 18 years old.
18. The draft concludes today with rounds 2nd through 7th before teams turn their attention to the NHL's free agency signing period, which starts on Friday. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Do you think in the locker room he just pretends like he shaves his genitals when actually hasn't grown any pubic hair
at
all? Wow. Well, hey, listen, it's not the first time, but it's pretty amazing when you hear about 18-year-olds jumping right into the big leagues. And there's been some pretty damn impressive people that have done that. So hopefully good things from this kid. Welcome to Wednesday Morning Preston and Steve Show, a shadow cast over the radio station. I know you heard this by now. If you're really out of touch, maybe you didn't. But Eddie Van Halen passed away yesterday. It was terrible, terrible news. We're going to play nothing but Van Halen this morning.
Yeah.
I've handpicked a selection of music.
Good.
And yeah, I'm we're not going to play Jump and Hot for Teacher. I'm going to play some stuff that's a little cooler, a little deeper. So
I think this is the time to do that.
Yeah. So I've picked out some songs that I always thought were really cool. A little bit deeper cuts this morning. So we'll play that, and we have a couple of guests to pop on to talk about Eddie. Some people who have had close connections with him, and one of them being our buddy Ike Richmond, who for the longest time was in charge of promotions at the Wells Fargo Center complex. And Ike is the most diehard Van Halen fan I've ever met.
Yeah, that's safe to say.
And he actually, I think he worked on the tour for a little while, and yeah, he was really in tight with those guys. So he's met Eddie a bunch of times. The whole band, obviously, he's met many times, but I'm sure he's got some stories. And also, comedian and awesome impressionist Craig Gass, who's been on our show many, many times, actually lived at Eddie's house for a little while. And he had like a little house out back, and he stayed there, and he told us some great stories.
Just awesome stories. He interacted with him constantly.
Yeah, so we're going to get Craig on this morning, who's going to be obviously upset because that's a friend of his, but I'm sure he's got some great stories to tell us about Ed and being around him for that time. So we will honor his memory by playing some music and sharing some stories and so on through the course of today's program.
You know, we also have to admonish Preston people to not do is say, how much worse can 2020 get?
Oh, my God.
Don't say that ever.
I'm hesitant to even mention
it. It keeps
this.
Rising to the challenge. Yeah.
But my buddy Will yesterday, the first thing he texted back to me was like, Paul McCartney better not leave his house
for
the rest of the year. Because it's just been bad thing after bad thing. So that was a heartbreaker yesterday. So, we will, like I said, we'll talk about it. We'll play some music through the course of the program. We have some other things going on as well. Fox Good Day. We're going to do that. We have a secret text word. We have your chance to win a digital download of Beetlejuice just in time for Halloween, of course.
Love it.
So text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designated caller wins, and we will also grab a random texter as well to win. And we're scheduled to have Beverly Goldberg on today.
That'd be awesome.
The actual real life Beverly Goldberg, the inspiration for the Goldbergs.
Yes,
and she recently responded to a tweet of ours, and her son Adam, who is the creator of the Goldbergs and all kinds of great stuff, had responded by saying, he loves the fact that his mom is a fan of the Preston and Steve show. So let's talk to Beverly, man.
She's got a cookbook out where she does reveal the secret recipe to shrimp parm.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah. Right. And banana bread.
And banana bread.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Beverly Goldberg's banana bread.
So we'll talk to Beverly later on this morning. And also our friends from Bud Light Platinum are doing a meet and eat. And that means, will we have some giveaways? No, it does not. Yes, it does mean we do. So we got all that and more going on today. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and the entertainment report, that's up, as well as a stupid question. By the way, this little music bed we play here on the way up, this is Van Halen.
Yeah.
From a song off of 1984 called Drop Dead Legs. It is fantastic. So we'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to do a Van Halen-based stupid question, give away a pair of tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. Let's see if you know this one, because I saw a... it was a documentary about the band, and or it might have been Behind the Music, but Gene Simmons was kind of discovered them, wanted to take them
it's
under
true.
His wing,
yeah,
and he wanted to rename the band.
My Chicken Wing.
No, not the Chicken Wing. He did take it under the Chicken Wing. What did he want the band to be called? 215-263-WMMR. He had a whole idea for them, a logo and the name of the band and everything. Let's see if you know the answer to that. 215-263-WMMR. I kind of searched around, see if I could find it online. I couldn't, but I do remember the story. All right, let's see if you know the answer. We'll go to some birthdays while we're waiting. Today is Wednesday, October 7th. Joy Behar of The View is 78 years old
today.
Super
hot.
Take it off, Joy.
They have all of the COVID shows that have had, from home and everybody doing their stuff over Zoom calls. Someone needs to tell Joy to readjust her setup.
Wait, what do you mean?
The camera angle and the lighting... Everyone else looks a little bit better. She's a hideous woman, but it is not flattering.
Is it like lit from underneath?
It's
like a
flashlight under the chin.
Like you're telling a scary story at a camp out?
Do you remember when Dr. Phil first came out and he had done a video? He looked blue.
Horrible.
It was
like, how does no one one pick up on
they
this?
They know people in television.
They're
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they have professional directors. They don't have to do it themselves.
I know.
But now they do.
But if we tried to do that, Rodney would get in touch and go, I'm sending over a whole bunch of equipment to you. We're going to fix this problem.
Right. Yeah, this would be
do. Yeah.
So, but anyhow, maybe Joy, she
likes that.
She likes that. I don't know. She's 78.
Tell
today.
Us a scary story, Aunt Joy.
Ollie North, the Iran-Contra scandal figure, is 77 years old today. There's a list of interesting birthdays today. Vladimir Putin, former prime minister of Russia.
I was watching footage of him hanging out with Steven Seagal. They're bros.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a bromance.
He is 68 today. He's the Russian president, of course. Desmond Tutu. So you got Pootie Putin Tutu. celebrating birthdays today.
It's a sitcom.
He is 89 years old
today. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And a Nobel Peace Prize winner, of course. Tom York, singer of Radiohead, turns 52 today. Just recently got married, I believe.
Yeah, signed a big modeling contract.
He did? Yeah. Wow, good on him.
For Wild Eye Cosmetics.
Yeah. We talk about this every year. I wish I got Radiohead. I really don't, but, you know. Roadhead? No, that's
completely different.
What did you
Roadhead
say?
Is much better.
I said I never got Radiohead.
Yeah, Roadhead.
I wish I did.
Oh.
But anyhow.
Oh, my God.
Roadhead.
My head.
You never got Radiohead?
I never got Radiohead. Wait a minute.
Wait.
Actually, I did one time.
I thought so.
At the station?
Not here.
Okay.
Another city.
Which
another,
one?
Another time.
Had you just done the farm report?
No.
Was it a particularly good crack?
I was Kenny Knight.
Oh!
Back then.
Yep. Okay.
Anyway, we're talking about Tom York.
Do you actually have to be moving in order to, like, understand Radiohead?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Radiohead, Tom York, yep. Lead singer, 52 years old today. Simon Cowell.
Celebrate just talking about him with Gabrielle Union, and apparently he was the focus of that lawsuit she had with NBC, which they settled.
Mm-hmm. He's 61 today. Sorry, my eyes are scanning ahead here.
Okay.
John Mellencamp turned 69 years old. Some of the funnest concerts I've ever been to have been John Mellencamp shows.
So for me, a top 10, possibly a top 5 concert experience would be John Cougar Mellencamp at the Jones Beach Theater.
Yep.
Almost 3 hours. Every song, a hit. Awesome.
You sing along with.
And then there was like a moment from The Natural, Preston, the drummer, his great drummer.
Yeah, Kenny Arnoff.
Takes a drumstick.
Yeah.
Throws it up.
Oh, no.
And hits one of the lights. It explodes. And the
seriously?
Crowd, yeah. It's like a bulb. It wasn't like a marquee
right,
thing.
Right.
Psh, the crowd goes nuts. I'm like, this is awesome!
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the shows are great. There's sing-alongs. You know every song. The band is fantastic. It sounds wonderful. So, if he ever comes around again, you should go.
He's had an interesting personal life. He was married to the lady from Gilbertsville for a while, and that was his second or third wife, the model. Yeah. And then he dated Meg Ryan off and on several times. They got engaged, and then they broke up again last year. But in between dating Meg Ryan, I didn't know this until just now, or had forgotten, he was dating Christie Brinkley for a stretch.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. And for a small period of time, he was dating Shelley Girl.
Oh, so my God. you guys don't know.
It's like a half hour.
Yeah, he can be cantankerous.
Yes. Oh, man, really?
I know. Yeah. There was a record guy that I used to be friends with who was on tour with him and said, you know, John had some serious attitude. And he knows it, too. He'll admit it. And, you know, but
I think he's gotten to a better place.
Yeah. But he's one of those people that, has had a gazillion heart attacks.
He has.
And still keeps smoking cigarettes. I don't know if he still is now.
Because they're good for you.
All right. But he's a great musician. 69 years old today. Tico Torres.
Hey!
Bon Jovi celebrates his 67th birthday today. And Tico's been with him since the beginning.
Very loyal. There was Bon Jovi himself's been in the news for the Richie Sambora comments he made.
Yeah. Well, he's got a new album out.
Yeah.
This is a guilty pleasure.
It's probably my favorite Bon Jovi song after Slippery When Wet.
I love this.
I sort of agree. I really appreciate Bon Jovi, and I appreciate all that the band stands for and all that stuff. I'm not a massive fan myself, but I appreciate it.
This is probably the best Bon Jovi song that people don't appreciate. Have to go, Nick.
That people don't appreciate but should.
Yeah. This is number 3.
No, this is number 1.
Accepting for
best
song that people should appreciate but don't but should.
Yeah. You can come up with your own list.
I don't like listening to myself over again, but I think I want to hear that clip just to see what the hell I was saying.
What you're saying,
Remind yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Tico Torres is 67 today. And last birthday I saw, Yo-Yo Ma, cousin of Little Nepatiz, is 65. You didn't catch that reference at all?
No.
Oh, man. You love Jack Black from School of Rock. He goes,
I don't
blew the audition, but who did get it? Yo-Yo Ma's cousin, Little Nepatiz. I thought you would get that.
I don't know that movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Right,
so sorry.
Yo-Yo Ma is a guy I would like to have on our show sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. His yo-yo tricks are unbelievable.
No, he doesn't do...
This is Walk Dog?
Yeah.
This is Baby in the Cradle?
Uh-huh.
He's outstanding.
Yes,
he's one of those, you know, he's the Van Halen of cellists.
Absolutely.
He's the Eddie Van Halen of cellists.
The cellist of Van Halen.
65 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. So it does concern Van Halen, and I believe I learned this from Behind the Music Van Halen, which used to be a VH1 show. Was outstanding.
You can find them on YouTube.
And originally, Gene Simmons wanted to take the band, rebrand them, give them a new name. What was that name? And I will go to Brian for the answer. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Jabroni.
Hey, bro. Good word. All right, what was the name of the band?
It's Daddy Longlegs.
Yeah, Daddy Longlegs is correct. Yes.
Yeah! Really?
Yeah, hang on a second, Brian.
Oh, God, that is such a dumb name.
I know. He wanted it to be, the logo was like a bug with the long legs, obviously, and a top hat on it. And they were like, no.
But look, that's a top hat. That's kind of kitschy, right? A spider wearing a top hat.
Brian, we have a pair of
tickets. Like he's going out on the town.
To the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions, you'll experience terror like never before, located in Glen Mills, PA, fully open and safe. The Bates Big Friggin' Deal continues this week. Get two tickets for the price of one while supplies last at WMMR.com, and the keyword is deal. We will cover a lot of about Eddie Van Halen's passing in a little while.
Eddie, it's Gene. I have another idea. What if each of the spider's legs was holding a walking stick? Get back to me.
Okay. I don't think they ever returned that call.
No, they never returned that call. Yeah, that's obviously we're going to be hitting Eddie Van Halen in the career a lot today.
So. Yeah, so we will do that in a little bit. I do have entertainment news. I'm going to start with kind of a heavy story. Amanda Kloots, who had watched her husband, Nick Cordero, the Broadway actor, succumb to coronavirus after a devastating months-long battle, is responding to Donald Trump's, quote, hurtful message downplaying the seriousness of the disease. He had tweeted, "Don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. We have developed under the Trump administration some really great drugs and knowledge. I feel better than I did 20 years ago." But Kloots had responded on social media, "To all the over 208,000 Americans who lost loved ones to this virus, I stand by you, with you, holding your hand. Unfortunately, it did dominate our lives, didn't it? It dominated Nick's family's lives and my family's lives. I guess we let it like it was our choice." She said, "Unfortunately, not everyone is lucky enough to spend 2 days in the hospital. I cried next to my husband for 95 days watching what COVID did to the person I love. It is something to be afraid of." Because he had, like, slowly his body started giving out.
Deteriorated, yeah. And a lot of that issue was because of blood clots.
Cordero died on July 5th. He was only 41 years old, left behind their son, named Elvis, by the way. But she said, "After you see the person you love the most die from this disease, you would never say what this tweet says. There is no empathy to all the lives lost. He is bragging instead. It is sad. It is hurtful. It is disgraceful." On to Bachelor news. I know you've been waiting on that. In June, ABC announced that Matt James would become the first Black Bachelor in the franchise. Exciting relief and joy that the franchise seemed to be moving forward and responding to critics of its decidedly non-diverse lineup. As we count down to the premiere of Claire Crawley's The Bachelorette.
I'm counting down.
ABC is revealing a look at the 43 women who may appear on James's season. It's not the official lineup, more of an unofficial preview.
I'm so confused.
A quick glance finds many women in their 20s, with four of the 43 in their 30s. James is 28 years old. The only info being released thus far on the possible ladies are their names, ages, and hometowns. Tyler Cameron, James's BFF, shared the key to James's heart with us. He said, "Somebody that is ready for an adventure, ready to get up and go. You got to be super active to be with Matt. but also someone who's able to have, like, serious talks. Matt is deep. You need to be able to have these big connecting conversations.
Absolutely. With an intellect that vast, you've got to be on your best game.
He said, I think that's going to be super important for him while finding his partner.
A working knowledge of quantum physics would help.
Someone who can really connect on a deeper level with. Hopefully, he's able to find that person quickly.
I'm sure. The first woman out of the limo is going to be a perfect match.
Following up on that, in other Bachelor, Bachelorette news, Cassie Randolph filed a police report against ex-boyfriend Colton Underwood about a month after obtaining a restraining order against him.
My name is Colton Underwood.
Happy
to meet you.
25-year-old went to Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department on Monday and claimed that the former bachelor had planted a tracking device in her car.
I planted a GPS system.
A GPS?
It's GPS.
Oh,
is that illegal to do that?
I think it is.
Okay. I would hope it is.
However, though, now they are readily accessible. You can pick them up on Amazon. Like, we included a special device when we sent BirdBot out to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what that was, which was just a little while ago, I mean, now you have super small units, magnetic. You can stick right up under the car, and they function like gangbusters.
I mean, like, if you wanted to track your child.
No problem.
But is that illegal?
Like, I don't think so. If it's your family.
No, if you're your family.
Your family.
If you're their guardian, I would imagine you can probably if you're their legal guardian.
I would say if you're tracking someone against their will.
Yeah. What about a spouse?
It depends. I mean, the gray area clearly is what state is the relationship in. You know?
Like Pennsylvania or Delaware?
Yeah.
Okay. According to Brian Friedman, Randolph's attorney, it was her intention to first try and work through this process privately in a manner that gives both her and Colton safety, security, and respect. He said, we are confident this is possible. The order was extended to November 6th. So,
thank you.
Yeah, apparently it's a full-on police report against him. Kat Von D is thanking Paris Hilton for speaking out against the Provo Canyon School, where both spent time as teenagers.
Kat Von D and Paris Hilton went to the same school?
Yeah, but I don't think they were there at the same time. So Von D shared on social media that she also suffered abuse there as a teen, revealing she was sent to the Utah boarding school at age 15 and, quote, locked up for half a year without even seeing the sun. What? I wonder if she's
what?
Like, they would put her inside and not being able to
like a solitary confinement thing?
No windows. I think maybe she's exaggerating a tiny bit. But
they're the same age. They're about the same age. So may have been there at the same time.
Hilton first shared her alleged experience in the YouTube documentary called This Is Paris. She said, Von D, writing this, I spent those 6 traumatic months of my teenage years only to leave with major PTSD and other traumas due to the unregulated, unethical, and abusive protocols of this school, and cannot believe this place is still operating. All right, maybe they did lock her up.
Wow,
I don't know.
Audio of Kat Von D and Paris Hilton cheerleading. Wait 1 second. Let me get through. Yeah, it's amazing. Kathy, you.
Homecoming 95.
Yeah.
We all came alive.
Who's that guy?
The pep rally got us. The band made us jump.
Homecoming night. So she said, please take a moment to watch Paris Hilton's documentary, This Is Paris, and follow Breaking Code Silence to see other survivors' testimonials and better understand the horrors of the troubled teen industry and the damage it causes to not just kids, but the families.
So, quick question. Has any sort of legal action been taken against this school? Has an investigation taken place?
Not that I've read.
Because if they're going, you know, full Papillon on these kids, that's pretty bad.
Von D said she was kidnapped from her bed in the middle of the night and taken to Utah blindfolded.
While
Von D said she was spared of the sexual abuse and physical abuse, it was something that she definitely saw during her time at the school. Wow.
It's not like a military or...
It sounds like a quasi-military...
Troubled school type of place.
Right, but...
Or troubled kids school.
Right, so were they exhibiting signs of being especially troubled? It doesn't sound that way.
Well, what, the school or the kids?
Paris Hilton and
I don't know Kat Von D's background. Paris, I would be surprised to hear that she was sent there because of behavior problems,
right?
But I don't know, Steve. I don't know the background on
this. So basically, it's a school for people in recovery. You know, so it's teenagers who are in treatment centers, but it's also a school with a campus. So I don't know what a local equivalent would be, but maybe Glen Mills or something.
Glen Mills is not for people in... Are you talking about, like, drug and alcohol recovery?
That's what it says here, Casey, yeah.
Okay. So
treatment center.
Glen Mills is closed, by the way.
Oh, it is. I remember years ago some schools that were for recovery, you know, rehab, is what we called it when I was a kid. But where they would do things like they would do some pretty controversial things. It would bind them in cloth and so on, like wrap them up like mummies and do odd treatments like that.
Right. I don't know. I'd be curious. So then I'll watch this Paris Hilton thing and see what.
Yeah.
Because if it's a school where they're dealing with people who have addiction problems, that's a different tone. If they're exerting that kind of control over them, even still, it sounds pretty austere.
No, well, you can't have do physical stuff like that,
right?
Depriving people of sunlight, you know.
The allegations of abuse stretch back to the 1980s. Oh.
So if your parents give permission to to do this type of thing, they can and some parents do like a hands off approach,
right?
You guys do what you got to do. They might do stuff like that.
But even in rehab, you're allowed to go outside.
But if you're a teen and you're troubled and you're an institution and you sign off on this parent, they may have...
I don't know.
They can confine them. You
right.
know?
So, I don't know about this.
I'm not saying legal. I don't know. What I'm saying is the parents might let them get away with stuff like that.
So other people have spoken out about this, and a lot of them are saying there's repeated physical restraints with up to 10 staffers piling on young children. Some were chemically sedated. Others over-medicated to feel like they were zombies.
Wow.
Well, this needs to be explored further.
Left in isolation rooms for days. After getting in trouble for things like not getting out of bed or asking for an inhaler.
I've got a lot going on, but I'll do it. I'll be the one. I'll go undercover.
All right, you'll do it.
I'm going to go undercover, I guess, as like a 13-year-old girl is probably my best bet, right?
There's a drug problem.
We could
do that. We could work that out. Anyway, this is Paris Hilton explained how she believes the abuse she went through at the school led to a pattern of abusive relationships. That she is only now emerging from. Wow.
Well, okay. Who knew?
Interesting.
You do have young-looking skin.
I do. I honestly do. Yeah. And that's going to be what, hopefully, I can sell it.
Oh, okay. What, we're going to send you like you're a student?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Debbie.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody names their kid Debbie anymore. You got to be like...
No, I'm going to go with Debbie. I'm a troubled girl. Okay. Don't F with my undercover.
I'm trying to help. I want to get to the bottom of this thing.
You're going
to
get me killed in there, man.
All right, I have some other stories.
All right.
A furious Anne Heche left Dancing with the Stars set Monday after being eliminated following a mix-up. Heche refused to do press and left the lot immediately.
Harumph!
She wasn't the only one who was confused after new host Tyra Banks announced that cheer coach Monica Aldama and pro partner Val Cherimovsky, or however you say his name, were safe. Then they were actually trailing the pack. Then Banks said that Heche and pro Keo Matsep and Vernon Davis and Peta Murgatroyd were at the bottom two, leaving Chrishell. Anyway,
she screwed it up.
They got kicked off.
She screwed it up.
She kicked off the wrong ones, and Anne Heche was ended up being sent home, and she wasn't happy about it.
Tyra Banks screwed up so much, she announced one of them the winner of America's Got Talent.
Wow.
I'm confused. Who accidentally got kicked off?
I don't remember who accidentally got kicked off, but it was supposed to be Anne Heche, and they eventually kicked him off.
Okay.
So anyhow, Banks called Aldama and Cherimovsky back. I guess they were originally kicked off. She said there had been an error in the control room. This is craziness of live TV. I'm sorry, this is live TV. But the pair were saved, and Heche was sent home. Banks tweeted, "Wowzers, live TV, wrong name on cards. So challenging to deal with moments like these, but we power through."
Tom Bergeron would have gotten it right.
Probably. And, of course, there were comparisons to Steve Harvey's infamous snafu at the Miss Universe pageant.
And the assassination of President Lincoln.
It does happen. And, of course, we saw the La La Land.
Oh, my God.
At the
one of the biggest of all time.
Uh-huh. At the Oscars.
Yep. Yeah.
Nearly a year after HBO announced that it would create a Game of Thrones prequel, House of the Dragon, the series has cast its leading man. The show will take place 300 years before Game of Thrones.
And it's someone you just mentioned. It's Steve Harvey, isn't it?
No, it is not. And we'll follow members of House Targaryen over 10 episodes. Paddy Considine will play King Viserys Targaryen.
I like that actor. I'll pull him up. I don't know if you recognize him, Preston, but he's a really good actor. He's a good choice.
He's chosen by the Lords of Westeros to secede the old king, Jaehaerys Targaryen, at the Great Council at Harrenhal.
You don't know him?
He's in some of the
Machine?
No, he's in Hot Fuzz. But I'm trying to think of his biggest role. But he's a character actor. He's Irish, and he's shown up in a lot of things over the years.
Okay. I watched him in a Netflix show where he plays a cop, and he gets this drug addict to basically be an informant for him.
It's called The Informer.
Oh, Informer.
Informer.
Let him come down.
God bless snow.
What's the name of that show where the guy turns the guy into the informer?
Boom, boom, down.
Informer. Licky boom, boom, down. All right.
That was good, man.
We all enjoy that?
Uh-huh.
All right, so they've cast him as the lead. Let's see. Tyler Perry is set to be honored with the People's Champion Award at the 2020 People's Choice Awards set for Sunday, November 15th.
I think the actual award is champion that people should think is a champion but don't.
Okay, that's the actual award?
Right.
So it's the 15th of November, and the director, entrepreneur, and philanthropist to work in entertainment and in support of charitable organizations earned him the honor.
I am the champion. I am the champion.
All right.
That's him accepting his award.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he deserves it. Yeah, certainly, he's very altruistic.
In Will Smith's latest YouTube video, he and his wife Jada Pinkett Smith addressed the entanglement memes. I'm not familiar with the entanglement memes.
So I guess where it looks like he's crying.
Right.
Yeah.
The couple addressed the Will Smith crying meme and explained that he wasn't actually crying before shooting the August Alsina Red Table Talk episode. He was just tired. And Jada said, he doesn't cry. He wasn't crying. Well, but I saw him cry in I Am Legend when the dog died.
He cried a lot.
Yeah. And then also in Concussion, he cried a little bit.
A little bit in that. Will added, we were shooting at midnight because we were trying to rush and go to the airport in the morning. I said, reshoot it, but it played out, and everyone is like, poor Will.
Will so tie-tie.
They love thyself some Will, he said. He was so tie-tie. And you get a little cranky when you're tie-tie. Let's see. Juliana Rancic says she's feeling good 2 weeks after sharing her coronavirus diagnosis. The E! Host was set to host the Emmy Award red carpet pre-show and had to step down after the diagnosis. Her husband, Bill Rancic, and their son, Duke Rancic, had also tested positive. She told E! I want to say thank you to everyone who sent us the well wishes. Those messages always managed to put a smile on our faces, and we really appreciated everyone's kindness. Steve, I didn't know this actor. I assume you probably do.
All right.
Clark Middleton died. He was 63 years old. He was in Twin Peaks, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., CSI, Fringe, Law and Order. I don't think he had main roles in any of these.
It sounds familiar.
I saw a picture of him. He has a very unique, very round face, bald head.
Clark Middleton.
He's got kind of a small facial feature.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Steve, you probably saw him most recently in Snowpiercer, that mm-hmm. Chris Evans movie.
Yeah.
He's in that.
His widow, Alyssa, shared the news writing, thank you for your love and support. And I cannot count the number of times he said, give the world your best and the best will come back to you, quoting his father, Mel. And he meant it. He is the light, happy, and free, and sends love. He died of West Nile virus.
I saw that. Wow. Yeah, you don't. There's a blast from the past.
It's almost a relief,
I know, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Good news. He died of West Nile.
Yeah, relief? What?
When you hear somebody like
I know you're
dying
sad,
from...
but I have some good news. Yeah. It was West Nile.
I said almost.
Hey, everybody, it was West Nile!
Woo!
Woo!
All right!
Woo!
Oh, my God.
Pretty old Applebee's!
He will be missed.
Rest in peace, that guy.
Wow. Okay. And then one last thing. Netflix reversed its renewal of the dramedy Glow, starring Marc Maron, citing COVID-19 concerns as a result that it would not go forward the fourth and final season.
I was reading an article that explained that Netflix is on what appears to be a canceling jag. But
really?
The truth of the matter is, is the way they judge the success of a show happens immediately in downloads, in views.
Yeah.
So it's a different model. And they also, you know, you go onto Netflix and there are 12 new shows you haven't heard anybody pre-promote or announce. And so many times things are just discovered by happenstance.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for them, it's just standard procedure to kind of, you know, take the inventory, pull out what they, you know, what they're, what's not doing even moderately well, and try to favor the stuff that hits immediately.
Hey, I've never done this, but I watched a documentary on Netflix last night, and I'm urging anybody listening right now to not watch it. It's called An American Murder. If you want to know how it ends, it's terrible.
No, wait, don't tell me. Why? What do you mean?
Because it is...
Don't say anything.
When it was over, I was so sad.
Okay, don't say anything anymore.
I didn't feel good about life. I didn't feel good about myself after watching it.
You heard American Murder and you thought, this is going to pep me up.
Well, so I was like, this is going to be wild. Yeah. This is going to, you know, and I mean, you know, when you get to the final payoff, like, you're like, oh, how does that happen?
This is South America.
Well, listen, that's, you don't give it away. I mean, just because it made you feel bad. I mean, it's...
I don't want anybody... So what I'm trying to do is...
people actually might get something out of it.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can get anything out of it.
The preview popped up the other day.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and Jace was going to be home in like 10 minutes. I'm like, I can't start it now, but it's like on my list. I'm going back and I
want
to watch it.
Well, you watched it all the way to completion, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so Kathy, you watch it, and let's have battling reviews.
I'm warning you, Kathy, don't.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Why, just because it's so sad and depressing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, that's not a reason.
I mean, you know, it sucks, I'm sure, but, you know, it's...
I watched The Wizards of Waverly Place, and that's a downer.
No, it's not.
All right. All right, anyhow, what was I saying?
I don't know, Tyra Banks.
No, Glow was... Canceled, and then Teenage Bounty Hunters was also canceled.
That looked
good.
I wanted to watch that. Yeah, I saw the preview for it. Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Is it like reality?
No, it's like two. It's like two. Two, you know, the Valley Girl type girls who are actually accomplished bounty hunters.
Okay, hang on. Mario wants to chime in about American Murder. Is that what it's called? American Murder. Mm. Hi, Mario.
Hey, big brown Guatemala nipples.
Getting sucked on by all sorts of pebbles in Palma.
I do want to tell you something. I am Guatemalan, and I have just the tiniest little grass cutters that you could even imagine. I do not have big nipples at all.
You do not. It gives us a more well-rounded picture of the Guatemalan nipple scene.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, come on. Let's get to the substance here. What do you want to say?
Preston, so I watched American Murder the other night, and I finished it, like, I don't know, 9:30. I swear I wanted to wake up my little 8-month-old baby and just hug her and just snuggle her little cute face. Kathy, don't do it to yourself.
Oh,
well, let me ask you this, Mario. Yeah. Mario. Was it a good show that just left you emotional?
It's one or the other. The way it was put together was all right. It left you in suspense, and I had an anxiety ball in my chest like the whole time.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The way they sort of time things out, and so when it gets to the end of the documentary, they show their lives just like days before, and you
all right, stop it.
Well, it's meant to devastate.
Thank you, Mario.
I will tell you this, and if this puts it in any kind of perspective, I cradled my wife for hours after the series finale of Nash Bridges. Sometimes shows can do that.
It was sad to see it go.
Anyway,
we better get to the clips because it's already like 10 minutes after 7. All right, so where the hell are my clips?
Something about Tyra Banks.
Oh, here it is. My bad.
Here we go. How about this? Season 15 is the final season of the beloved CW TV series Supernatural. And this season promises to end the show on a good note. In this clip, star Jensen Ackles tells the story of when production of the 15th season shut down before they wrapped filming.
We had shot one day of the second to last episode, and everybody's emotions were starting to get all churned up, and it was like this final push, and boom, they pulled the plug on us. And I'm like, this is great because we can come back. We're refreshed. We got some rest. And now it's like, all right, I'm fresh. I'm good. Let's go. Everybody's, I think, really kind of itching to get back and get this thing over the finish line.
Yeah! All right. He's joining the boys in the third season.
The next episode of Supernatural premieres tomorrow at 8 o'clock on the CW. Here's the next clip.
As the second entry into the Haunting anthology series, The Haunting of Bly Manor takes place, takes this TV series down a darker path than its predecessor. And in this clip, creator Mike Flanagan discusses the craziness behind the filming of the 6 episodes long take.
It was funny. The actors, they were very terrified of being the reason why we have to reset. It almost never happened. The crew started rehearsing for that episode before we shot the pilot, and the actors would meet regularly while we shot the first 5 episodes. They'd meet on weekends and evenings to rehearse. No one wanted to be the reason why a shot was abandoned. If you drop a line or something goes wrong and you call cut, you just have to start over.
The Haunting of Bly Manor officially comes out on Netflix Friday.
It's The Haunting of Blythe Danner, did you say?
It says Bly here, it's written that way twice.
So it's not Blythe Danner.
It says B-L-Y, Manor. So, all right, anyhow. There you go. That's your entertainment report. We're going to take a break. We're going to dive into the life of Eddie Van Halen when we get back, and we're playing nothing but Van Halen music this morning and some cool cuts at that. We do have some other guests and things going on. We'll bring you up to speed on all of that in a little while, so we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
We all got kind of hosed on that whole basketball bracket thing back in March. So we're bringing back the bracket with MMR's Rocktober Madness. Beginning today, listen as your favorite bands battle it out and you decide who wins. Starting with 64 bands split into 4 regions. The Air Pancake, Preston Steve, Jackson Sarah, and Jackie Brent. Matchups every weekday at 11:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. with Pierre and 3:30 and 5:30 with Jackson. And that's where you come in. Pull up the app or WMMR.com and vote for your favorite bands to move on or go home. It all comes down to one band, crowned champion of Rocktober Madness. Sponsored by Horizon Services.
Heating, cooling, plumbing, and indoor air quality.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Real quick, just to put a little perspective on Eddie Van Halen. In the early 1960s, the guitar really started to come into its own as a driving force of music. And, before that even, but the real guitarist started to surface. Your Eric Clapton's, your Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck were all starting to just bubble up. And then
breakout musicians known for their capability.
And then Jimi Hendrix came along in the late 60s and took it to another dimension, doing things that people had never done before with the instrument. And, it was still bluesy, but it had a louder, stronger, more in-your-face feel to it, and he was an absolute genius. And things kind of stayed that way, and people, took on his style and others, like your Claptons and Pages and so on. But then in 1978, this happened. And nobody had heard people doing what this guy did with the instrument. It jumped way ahead, light years, by experimenting with what the instrument could do, techniques. I'm not a guitar player, but I've always been in awe of great guitar players. And the finger tapping techniques and all the things that he was doing. In some of the songs from Van Halen, you can hear Eddie doing things like plucking at the springs on the back part of the tremolo on the rear of the guitar.
Right.
Pling, he would make these noises. Or the strings at the very top near where the tuning knobs are. He would plink at those.
On a guitar he built, correct?
Yeah. So the Frankenstrat, I was reading the history on that, was something that he created. He wanted a certain sound. And so he took a Stratocaster body and he put all different kinds of pickups in it, a different neck. He used all kinds of bizarre overriding techniques. I remember reading, back in the 1980s, a description of what he would do not only to his guitar, but to his amplifiers as well. And it flat out said, don't try this at home. It's dangerous.
Right.
Like, electronically, you could hurt yourself trying to rig the amp the way that he did. And I don't know what all he did. He may have, put little slits in the cone, or he did all kinds of things to give it a very specific tone and sound he was looking for. And obviously he achieved that because it was incredible. Nobody had ever heard a guitar sound like that before.
It's interesting because we had Steve Hackett from formerly of Genesis on the show last week or the week before. Everything blurs together. But he had a bit of innovation credited to him. He said that, you know, in a way that Van Halen had once mentioned that he was influenced by his playing. But there was such a comprehensive, like, if you talk about where they were in the 70s and, you know, this desire, he taught himself, right? Self-taught player, that he expanded the use of the guitar in such a full way. And correct me if I'm wrong, but his first instrument of choice was the drums.
Yeah,
and,
well,
Alex wanted to play the guitar.
Even before that, they both took piano lessons.
Right.
And even then, Eddie didn't read music. He didn't read printed music. He played by ear.
Right.
And he's just one of those gifted people who it made sense to him. And so they played piano, and he didn't find it challenging enough. God, piano is one of the most difficult instruments to play, I think, in my experience. But anyhow, Alex got a guitar. Eddie got a drum set, and then apparently Alex, he found Alex playing his drums one day, and he was playing Wipeout, and he's like, wow, that's way better than me, so I'll go grab this guitar, and started plinking around with that, and then they both each headed in that direction.
To plink and get to that point.
Yeah.
To get to that point where you're that good. Now, they were Pasadena, California, right?
Wasn't that there? I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
And they ended up being an LA band.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. And
but
so
they're originally from Amsterdam.
Right.
Netherlands.
Right.
Yeah.
But the fact that they took it, we mentioned Gene Simmons. You know, he was their earliest champion.
The big name that came in and said, wow, okay, these guys are something
pretty
else.
Amazing.
So music finds you at different points in your life, right? And for me, for this band, it was at the age of 9. I'm curious for you guys when you discovered or when Van Halen hit you.
The first song I remember hearing, and I was probably in, it must have been in 1979, I don't remember what year it was, but I remember being a kid. And my sister, the song came on the radio, and it was "And the Cradle Will Rock," and certainly they had songs before that. For some reason, it just hadn't popped up on my radar. And I remember hearing that, and I was telling, you know, I went on the air with Jackson and Pierre yesterday that it seemed so heavy, and hard rock that it actually kind of scared me a little bit. I was like, I don't want nothing to do with that devil music.
I'm scared.
There's nothing good can come from that. But that's the first I remember hearing Van Halen.
I'm sorry, Kathy. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to tell a story. Nick, it's funny that you say 9 years old. So yesterday, I got the text from you guys, and I wasn't having great cell service. So I tried to click on the link that was sent, and I couldn't get to it. I'm like, is this like a joke where, you know, it's going to be a picture of something or whatever? So I had to wait a while. And so finally it came up. I confirmed, you know, that he had passed away, and Jace was in the car with me, and he was like, what is it? Because I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And he's like, what is it? So I said, you know, a rock star, Eddie Van Halen, you know, died. And he goes, oh, Eruption.
Whoa.
I go, what? And he goes, yeah, Eruption. Now, Jace takes music classes. I guess that's where he learned it. I didn't teach it to him.
Huh.
And then we went through the whole library because we had to wait an hour and a half in the car for something. So we were sitting there. We had nothing to do. And we were listening to songs he was going through. He was telling me which ones he liked, which was awesome. And, you know, like it was really
Isn't
cool.
that crazy?
So yeah.
How old is he again?
He's 9. That's
He's
why
nine.
I thought Nick said it was 9 when you first remember listening to it.
But it was 1984, the year and the album. And I remember I tweeted this out yesterday, but on my Walkman, I had that was like the first cassette that was ever really mine. It was not my parents' handed down music. It was Van Halen was for me. And listening to that, and this was 3 or 4 albums in at this point, so they were established. But for me, that was my introduction to the
Which
band.
Which album was it?
1984.
Okay.
And
Masterpiece.
And it was. And you know, as a 9-year-old, I'm looking at a baby smoking a cigarette.
Right. Right.
What is going on here?
Right. It was Friday Night Video Fights on MTV where Jump had just dominated from Friday to Friday to Friday. And I think it set the record for, you know, the most amount of wins in a row. And yeah, Nick, I was the same age as you. I was 1984. I was 9 years old. And it was my older brother who had turned me on to, and that's what older brothers do. They kick your ass, and then they turn you on to kick-ass music. And so he was the one who introduced me through Friday Night Video Fights to Van Halen.
So he passed from cancer. He had had oral cancer issues. He had beaten it, it appeared, and then it came back. And from what I understand, cancer from that had gone to his brain.
Right.
Which happens. It actually is what ended up. My mother died. She had brain cancer, but they later found out that it had come from her lungs, which they discovered later. And so it's tragic. And I was saying to you, Preston, when we talked, I said, for some reason, I was thinking about Eddie Van Halen lately and how we hadn't heard anything. His situation, his medical situation.
Well, when he originally was diagnosed, he had part of his tongue removed.
He had a third of his tongue removed. Yeah, I don't remember when exactly that took place.
I think it was in 2000, I read.
One of the things I want to stress, and I had mentioned this to Jackson and Pierre yesterday, was, you know, Eddie's known as the guitar god that he is, the shredder, his technical abilities to play. But one of the things that can't be overlooked is his ability as a songwriter. Because you can go on YouTube and you can see 1,000 people, kids that are, you know, in their teens that can play at that level, that can just absolutely tear up the guitar,
right,
and do amazing technical things. But what they can't do are write song after song after song after song that connect with a large group of people. That is an amazing talent.
To fight the urge to always set off the fireworks, yes, and defer to the melody when the song is better served by something more simple. Yep. And they were able to do that. And that's what amazes me. I have a very clear memory of one Christmas I was getting a stereo that I was not supposed to know about. I found out I was getting the stereo, Preston. I found out where it was in the house. I unboxed it, set it up, played Eruption, and then reboxed it, retaped it. And like two or three times before Christmas, I took it out when my parents had left and played Eruption on the speakers to hear it, and then retaped it, reboxed it, and hit it back.
All right, so I, for me, my favorite album is 1984, and the way the album starts off is with that synthesizer, and the song is called 1984.
Yep.
Who's playing the synth on
that's
that?
That's Eddie.
I thought it was. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
It's such a great
way. Cool.
And it goes right into Jump, and I know that Jump is like, it's the pop song.
It was their only number one hit.
Yeah.
That they ever had, yeah.
But that into that is, I think, just as good as Eruption into...
You really got me. I get chills when I hear that. It's beautiful. And
we don't actually have it in the system. I want somebody to send that over.
I have a cool story about that.
Cool.
That video. It was so 1984 came out, and it was MTV December 31st, 1990 or 1983 at midnight, the first day of 1984. I stayed up to watch. I mean, it was New Year's Eve. I was going to stay up, but they played the Jump video. And it was a simple video. It was just they rented a performance space, and it's just these guys in a room playing the song. I just was going bonkers to see him play. And that guitar solo was just out freaking standing.
But they made that rise at the same time as MTV being so important in promoting music and promoting videos. And so it was this confluence of pop and MTV and Van Halen at their peak at that point, you know, as far as commercial sales go, and they all came together at the same time.
And so Eddie was a bit of a heartthrob.
Yeah.
He was, he had that smile, and the front man, and he gets knocked, and sometimes rightfully so, David Lee Roth, that was what you needed at that time to propel.
Yeah.
They caught the wave of MTV and went nuts.
Yeah, we had Paul Gilbert. If you're not familiar with Paul Gilbert, he's a guitar god. He was in here earlier this year, and he had said, "Listen, without a great front man, a guitarist is just a guitarist. There needs to be somebody along with." So, you know, Jimmy Page had Robert Plant.
Yeah.
Eddie had Dave. You know, I mean, it's they were a package deal at the time, and they propelled each other. One of the things I loved from the Van Halen albums, and unless you're a real fan, you don't really know it because you haven't listened to full albums, but Eddie did a lot of small little guitar interludes that were just parts of songs or played on their own. This one was from Diver Down, and the first time I saw them in concert, they played it, and I had no idea that how they were doing this, but it was called Cathedral, and Eddie would play this live, and essentially just has a delay on his guitar, And instead of using a volume pedal, he would use his right hand while he was strumming the chords. He would turn the volume up and down with his pinky.
Oh, wow.
And so when it gets to this part right here, he's essentially turning the volume knob up and down as he's playing, and the delay repeats it, and that's why you get that sound. You can't hear the actual percussiveness of the pick hitting the string. And so he would do techniques like that that were just that he came up with, just playing around, farting around
that's
with
crazy.
The guitar.
Yeah. Chris, you showed me video. It was just no longer than 2 weeks ago.
I look at Eddie Van Halen videos all the time. So yeah,
it was the one where he is with a guitar making elephant sounds and horse sounds.
Yeah.
Like with a guitar.
It's pretty wild. He had these way of creating these sounds that you're like, no, that's an elephant.
That's
someone a sound effect.
Who gets it. And I always loved, so my brother is a guitarist, and he would get Guitar Player magazine and all those different magazines. And of course, Eddie Van Halen was always on the cover or the next cover. And you'd read these interviews and about this, about the stuff he would create. But Eddie Van Halen completely appreciated his contemporaries and completely appreciated other guitarists. Like, he adored Brian May.
Yeah.
Loved Brian May.
Yeah. Yeah, they all had love for each other, for sure. In fact, Brian May posted a really sweet tribute to him yesterday. But, yeah, Casey, with that, lately I've been watching. Eddie did a bunch of stints just by himself on David Letterman.
Yeah.
And so I've been going back where he would just sit in with the band and play through
and
the
loved
night.
It, yeah.
And I've been going back and watching those lately. And
with a world caliber band.
I was showing Casey one where he's on. All of a sudden you hear somebody go, whoa. And I go, that wasn't somebody saying whoa. That was Eddie using his guitar.
Oh my
and it
God.
Literally sounds like a guy going, whoa, like that. He just could create these great sounds. Here's another interlude that I always thought was pretty awesome. Hang on a second. Yeah, this is called Spanish Fly. We'll play some of it, not the whole thing, but doing these tapping harmonics, you know, on an acoustic guitar. Loved flamenco guitar
players
because on another song, Little Guitars, there's an intro to it, and you guys have probably heard this before, which is very much in that style as well. And he does this cool technique where he uses the pick on one string right there, and then his left hand is playing the bass parts up and down the neck. So yet another, you know, hey, let me do this a bunch of different ways. And show you what it sounds like.
It's the mark of a genius.
Yeah.
I remember David Lee Roth talking about one time how there was not a whole lot of rock music that you could dance to until Van Halen came along, and so Dance the Night Away is a perfect example of really poppy, upbeat rock music that you could actually, there was a dance rhythm to it. Did Eddie ever sing on any of the songs?
I don't know. Maybe backups a little bit. Okay. He was known as not a good singer.
Because Michael would sing backups.
And if you go back and you listen to the songs, most of the backups you hear are Dave and Michael. Dave would track another one. You know, he would be, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's Dave singing the backups. You can hear it once you listen for it. But Dave and Michael doing the harmonies. But when they were live, he would sing.
Okay.
The best singer in that band was Michael, right?
His range was really high. He could get really, really high. And I'll play another little clip, and then we're going to go to a guest. This is a beautiful song. It's not typical Eddie Van Halen in that it's very, very simple. It's called 316. And I think this was from Awful Carnal Knowledge. I'm not 100% sure which album comes off of, but Chuck D'Amico told me the story of this last night. I did not know this. It's such a beautiful song and I always loved it, but it's called 316 because that's his son Wolfgang's birthday.
Oh.
And he would play this to Valerie's belly when she was pregnant to kind of soothe him if he was acting up.
Valerie Bertinelli,
and he would calm down when he would play this little tune for him. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, so I'm going to go to tell Dr. Mike we'll talk to him another time. Right? You want to talk about Eddie's cancer. I appreciate it, Dr. Mike, but we don't have a whole lot of time because we're going to go live on Fox Good Day in a second.
Our next guest actually sent this clip over to me this morning because this was his final guitar solo, believe it or not.
Really?
Live guitar solo.
I'll play a little bit of it. That's that little guitar's intro. It's amazing. This was at the Hollywood Bowl in 2015, so I guess that was his last live performance. All right, so we're going to get our buddy Ike Richman, who is a promo guy at Wells Fargo Center for the longest time, and we've known him for ages. Biggest Van Halen fan I've met. So, hey, Ike, how you doing, man? Ike, oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. I didn't have the button pressed. Ike, you there, bud?
I like turtles.
All right. You still got your sense of humor.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And so did Eddie.
Yeah, man. This had to have been a blow. It was a blow to all fans, obviously. But you had a relationship somewhat with Eddie, did you?
It's sort of when the fan becomes the friend.
Yeah.
And you grow up watching a band becoming a freak for the band, and then when you get into the business and you're afforded the opportunity to meet somebody and then befriend them, it takes it to a whole new level. And it's I think the world around us today is like Jamie. We're all crying today.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's sad. And Preston, you said, did Eddie ever sing on a song? Eddie sang backup on most, but he did sing lead on one. It's called How Many Say I, and it's on Van Halen 3.
Huh.
And it's a piano song. Take a listen to it one time. I think that might be just enough.
All right. How Many Say I?
How Many Say I. It's on Van Halen 3. He sang lead. I only saw them do that live once. They
pulled
out a baby grand piano, and he sang it in Houston back in 98. It's a rare one.
I will check that one out here in a little bit. So what are your memories of, you know, being friends with him?
Ed was one of those rock stars that never wanted to be a rock star. He just wanted to play guitar. He was shy. He was quiet. He just wanted to play music and just have fun. He didn't want the attention on him. You could be at a concert and the fans would start yelling, Eddie, Eddie, and he would kind of turn around and point to the other guys in the band or kind of shun from it. He just wanted to play music. He wasn't a rock star. He just wanted to have fun. He was always smiling. He was always upbeat. Just loved to play music, and that's what it was.
Ike, with both David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar and what you're saying right now, and there was conflict with both at certain points, you know, with the Van Halen brothers. And do you think there was a difference of philosophies in the embracing of that rock star stuff and putting on the airs and simply just the love of the music? Was that, do you think it's sometimes the point of conflict between the two lead singers?
I don't ever look at it as conflict. They're really two different styles of band. I think Ed said, you're the front man, you get up and do your thing and let me play my music, and that's it. And they had fun. And every time you'd see them in concert, it was always a fun
night
for the fans and a fun night for the band.
Yeah. How many times did you see him, Ike?
69 times. First time at the Spectrum in 81, and the last time was at Woodstock, Bethel Woods, 5 years ago in September.
Hey, did somebody had texted in that they or emailed me yesterday that part of the Panama video might have been shot at the Spectrum. Do you know anything about that?
That is true. 1984, they filmed the crowd scenes at both nights, March 20 and 21, 1984. They filmed the crowd shots for the Panama video. When they flew over the crowd, that was filmed in Connecticut a couple weeks earlier.
Okay.
So what was the interaction like with the fans? We know, you know, there are people last night, and you start to see the stories flooding in of people who'd encountered. There was one recent picture that it would surfaced. It was maybe 10 months ago. I guess Eddie took a picture with the fan and seemed to really enjoy it. What was your perception of the way they interacted and the way Eddie did?
Well, Eddie, I said earlier, he was shy. He didn't know how to really converse with everybody. He just loved giving everybody the gift of music, and I think people appreciated that. And I was at the Smithsonian back in 2015. Ed spoke at a lecture series, and at the end of the series, a guy makes an announcement. He says, everybody, Eddie will now meet you, sign autographs, and take pictures. And Ed looks at me and goes, "What?"
I said, we got this. I'll handle this. He goes, how are you going to do that? I said, watch. I've done this enough for bands at the Spectrum. Everybody line up on the left. Ed, you stand here next to me. They get 30 seconds, no autographs. You get a picture, you move on. He goes, that was the best. He smiled with everyone, hugged everybody. And anybody that was there said it was the greatest thing. It's just, he was more excited to play music for people. But if they wanted to come and get a hug, he was happy to give them a hug and a photo.
All right.
It was great. It's great.
Like, you know, I think every city thinks that they have a really special relationship with the band, but I genuinely believe that Van Halen loved playing in Philadelphia. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I think Van Halen loved playing in Philadelphia, and I think the Spectrum is one of the reasons that at the Spectrum, the crowd was right on top of the band, and the band could feel that energy. And just like a sporting event, Philadelphia fans let you know when you're on and when you're off. And when they're on, it's a great freaking show. And Eddie would walk off the stage. He said it in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center. I think it was 2012. He goes, now that was fun. Walking off the stage, he goes, that was fun.
Speaking of the relationship with the city, I think maybe it was last year I stumbled across this, and it might have been, I don't remember, Record Store. Maybe it was like Peaches or something like that, or it might have been Tower Records. I'm not sure. But anyhow, there were pictures of Van Halen. It might have been the debut album, and they did a signing.
And MMR was there,
and they showed pictures of the store before and after.
Yeah.
And it was destroyed. And I need to go back and find that, because where did we see that?
We talked about that. Yeah.
And
it was in...
If you go to VanHalenNewsDesk.com, it was May of 1979. It was Peaches in Northeast Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The anticipation for Van Halen to come in there was outrageous, and when they left, I don't think there was anything left in the store.
We were apprised of this recently for the 50th anniversary of the station, and that's where I remember first seeing these pictures, and they're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Van Halen brought a party wherever they went, and they sure left one at Peaches, and there wasn't much left of the store.
Ike, somebody brought to my attention, I think earlier this year or last year, a documentary. It's a 15-minute documentary. You can watch it on YouTube, and it's called The Lost Weekend Partying with Van Halen. And the winner got to spend this weekend, and he was from Phoenixville. Do you know about it?
Yeah, back in 1984, MTV had launched the contest where you could mail in a postcard, and you could go on a lost weekend with Van Halen in Detroit. And I always laugh with Jeff Gordon at Live Nation because we didn't send in enough postcards. I told Jeff I sent in 100. He said he sent in 200, and neither of us won.
Oh, my God.
But the guy, Kurt Loder from Phoenixville, won, and he got to go to Detroit with Van Halen. And you got to watch the documentary because I think they remember only arriving in Detroit.
Yeah. Oh my God.
They remember anything.
It's only 15 minutes long. It's on YouTube. I can't recommend it more highly. It's really entertaining. It's a glimpse into 80s bacchanalia and partying with a rock band. And it's definitely a lost weekend.
I don't think they remembered anything.
Oh my God.
Wow. I have to see that.
I think at the end of the documentary he says, I have the shirt, I have the jacket, and I think that's all I remember.
Yeah. At least he has a couple of keepsakes. That's funny.
So, Ike, you know, what are you doing? You probably listen to Van Halen regularly, but are you reminiscing with some music, you know, today?
I'm playing my air guitar to Mean Streets, Unchained, Human's Being. I'm listening to it. It's been 5 years since I last saw Ed, and I miss him every day. I miss their music, but the good news is we do have the memories. We do have the music, and I just recommend everybody, if you get a chance today, put on Fair Warning. It's their masterpiece.
That's my favorite album. And, yep.
Another quick question before you go. Somebody of this level passes, we're in COVID times and lockdowns and so on and so forth, but I assume there's already a tribute in the works. And have you heard anything? Has there been any suggestion? I know it's just a quick turnaround.
I haven't heard anything, right, but I'm sure there's a lot of people looking to pay tribute to Ed when the appropriate time comes. And I was thinking about Eddie Van Halen last night and when he crossed over. And I bet you he went out there and looked for some of the guys that he grew up listening to, like John Bonham, Malcolm Young, Bob Scott, and they had one hell of an all-star jam last night. But this guy was rumbling. He loved AC/DC. He loved Led Zeppelin, and he would be up there looking for those guys to play with last night, I'm sure.
Yep, you're right. All right, Ike, we just wanted to touch base. Thanks for checking in, man.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right. All right.
Yeah. You got it. We'll talk to you. All right, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. They want to talk a little bit about Van Halen, but we got to break right now.
So all
we're
right.
going to do that, and we're going to come back in just a moment or two. Make sure you stay with us this morning.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We're going to go live on Fox Good Day in just a moment or two. Marissa gave me a signal that said 5 seconds. We should hear them in just a moment. And obviously, they want to talk a little bit about Eddie Van Halen's passing, which we were talking about a little while ago. I should be hearing them. I am not hearing anything.
There
it is. All right.
Taking a live look from our airport camera. What a beautiful look up to the skies this morning.
We certainly are. This song taking us back to 1984. Jump, as we remember one of the greatest guitarists really to ever play here, Eddie Van Halen. President Steve joining us this morning, so young at the age of 65. And I was thinking, President Steve, you know, what artists, very few artists, like 45 years from now will have that same impact that just crosses generations like Van Halen.
That's
did.
True. Yeah, very true.
Yeah, and an innovator, you know, somebody who took an instrument, did things that people hadn't heard done before. And as I was saying earlier this morning, not only that, accomplished of a technical musician, an amazing songwriter on top of that, and wrote songs like Jump and Panama and, you know, song after song after song after song that, you know, Kathy was just telling us earlier this morning, her son, who's 9 years old, when she told him about the passing, he just goes, you know, he's like, oh, you know, this rock star died, Eddie Van Halen. He goes, Eruption.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
He knew. I mean, he takes some guitar lessons and stuff, so I guess he learned it there. But I was shocked that he knew and understood a little bit why I was, you know, so upset.
Yeah. Even people who aren't rock fans probably know who Eddie Van Halen
well,
is.
Well, they probably they might know through Michael Jackson. They might know through Beat It, you know, and other. He was a gun for hire for a lot of other people. And the funny thing is now in this day and age, so somebody, a kid hears the name Van Halen, they can jump on and get the entire catalog, you know, in a second. We used to have to wait for albums to come out and do it. But just an impressive array of work. And as Preston was pointing out, besides the technical aspect and the innovation and like building his own guitar and things of that nature, he wrote those songs. You can do you can do one or the other. A lot of people can just do either or. He did both. He wrote hits.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
And I also heard that in the beginning, like, he didn't learn from reading music. He would watch his teacher play and learn by sight.
Yeah, he was played by ear, which I'm always amazed at people like that. They just have it just makes sense to them. They just have that natural gift, and you know, some people can do it. So that's even more impressive to learn about that. But I, you know, we had heard stories about him being sick. He had been going to Germany for these special treatments. Hadn't heard anything for a while. Had no idea that it had taken this turn. And you know, the same thing had happened with my favorite drummer of all time, Neil Peart of Rush, earlier this year. So it's these 1-2 punches that just keep happening in the world of rock music. That's been a rough past 5 years or so.
Yeah, we declared earlier that no one can utter the words, "How much worse can 2020 get?" Because it keeps rising to the challenge, and it's
it finds ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So we're playing music we're playing all Van Halen music this morning, and we've been talking about it, obviously, and I'm sure we'll have a special program set up here on MMR because we have a rich history with the band throughout the years. So we'll be doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
His music continues, his legacy continues, and the impact that he had in a number of the schools as well, because he gave to so many music programs throughout the years. He will be remembered, Van Halen.
Yep.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care. So, yeah. All right, we did skip traffic, so let's dive into that NJM Insurance Group traffic. Kathy, what you got,
Preston,
for us?
Kathy's going to play the guitar.
Oh, okay. My God.
It's part of a...
Please do.
An honor.
Schuylkill Expressway westbound jams University to 30th Street. The roadway reduced.
There she goes.
Oh, my God.
Listen to that.
Oh, my God.
She just by sight. Go ahead, Kathy. Keep playing.
I I could do both at the same time. It's fine. It's really not that big of a deal. East on the
school. Oh my gosh, she's dancing too.
You know what? I have a dance story about Van Halen.
Okay.
Oh, well, we got to hear that.
Okay. So she's playing the guitar, she's arranging succulents, and she's giving us the traffic.
East on the Schuylkill slows the Blue Route to Gladwin, the Boulevard to 30th Street. South on 95 slowing from Cutman through to Bridge. Once you get to the Vine, westbound it's heavy the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill Expressway. 55 northbound jams Deptford to 42, and then over the Walt Whitman Bridge. Eastbound direction between the toll plaza and the downside, the roadway reduced to two lanes. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. If you're driving less, you could be saving more on car insurance. Save money with Paper Mile Insurance from Allstate. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, what's your Van Halen dance?
So I did a jive to, I think it was, if I heard it, I would know, but I think it was Ice Cream Man.
Which would lend itself to that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Case will pull it up here and I'll play a little bit for you. But it's kind of a...
Yeah, yep. I did a jive routine to this.
Oh, really? Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
You could do a little like sock hop dance to this type of thing. So, yeah, do you remember the routine?
It was so long ago. No, I don't remember it at all.
God, I love this song, man. The guitar solo in this song is just... I was driving my kids yesterday because we were listening to MMR. We were all in the car together. We were coming from an appointment. And I kept doing this thing where I go, listen to this part.
Yeah.
And I would turn it way up. Uh-huh. And they're like, all right,
well. Are they receptive?
I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not all in on it. I think they were just being nice. It doesn't really speak too much to them. But I remember Carter goes, yeah, Dad, I think when I was playing Eruption, he's like, I remember you playing this for me. So
yeah. Hey, listen, there's, like we were talking about this earlier, in the different stages of the band, I'm a big fan of... Van Hagar. I like that, that some fantastic songs, but, and then there were there's a more bluesy approach like that David Lee Roth had with the band. But I mean, just great songs that didn't necessarily have the pyrotechnics that you would associate with Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen, but were just terrific songs.
Oh yeah. Dreams, Best of Both Worlds, Get Up, Summer Nights, Black and Blue. There was a lot of good stuff from that era of the band. Some people didn't even get a chance.
No, they just missed it out of turn.
Dave's big shoes to fill.
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing, as far as the live performances went, I personally appreciated the Sammy Hagar live singing aspect, what he brought as a front man to the group. And I saw them in both iterations. So.
Ike Richmond, we just had on earlier, he was talking about sort of a lecture, I guess, that Van Halen was giving, that Eddie was giving at the Smithsonian, I think you mentioned. And we do have a clip of him giving a lecture concerning Preston, the difficulty of people who were left with having to transcribe his playing.
All right, here we go.
Because of the things that I created technique-wise and whatever the way I play, they had to reinvent a whole new way to write music because they could not explain with regular notes what I was doing with this hand. So they had to create a whole new thing called tablature of symbols and numbers and what fingers where and blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing is, I can't read music. Now they come up with a new way to write it, and I can't make sense out of that at all. So I don't have a clue if it's right or wrong.
Oh, that's funny.
So wait, tablature was because of him?
That I don't know. Maybe in case it might be.
Wow.
If so, I mean, that's kind of the standard now is when you see guitar tabs, it's a form of music. I can't read it. I can read regular sheet music, but I don't know how to read tablature. I've never taken the time to figure that out, but it's its own animal. And if that was created because of him, Jesus Christ.
Could you imagine trying to do
it? I mean, come on.
My brother always used to complain about guitar books, and he'd get guitar books of Van Halen songs, and he said they were always, they were sort of right, but they got so much wrong.
I believe it.
It's hard to transcribe that stuff.
Some of that stuff. I was showing Casey, there was a Rush song where there was this, a part where I was playing Subdivisions, and there's a part in the end where I just couldn't figure out. I'm like, God damn it, I got to cheat. I got to go get the sheet music, and I found a PDF of it, and I downloaded it. It looked like somebody just spilled ink on the page. I could eventually, after I went through it slowly, I could figure it out. But Eddie's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and some of those guys, Steve Vai and Yngwie Malmsteen and all the shredders, you look at what's written, and you're like, how? How can anybody figure this out? But those guys are of another level. It's incredible. We need to do the Bizarre File, so we're going to do it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by your local Deeds and Watts Real Philly Delis. They're open for takeout. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local business. RealPhillyDeli.com, Deeds and Watts. And it's a family thing since 1939. Incarcerated people at the Oklahoma County Jail were chained to walls and forced to listen to Baby Shark on a loop at loud volumes for up to 2 hours, according to charges filed on Monday. Two former detention officers, Gregory Cornell Butler Jr. and Christian Charles Miles, both 21, as well as their supervisor, Christopher Raymond Hendershot, were charged with misdemeanor counts of cruelty to a prisoner and conspiracy. According to investigators, using the song to torture prisoners was said to be a joke between Miles and Butler, and they worked.
I can't take this. I'd rather be raped in the shower.
And they worked together to teach incarcerated people a lesson because they felt that disciplinary action within their detention center was not working in correcting the behavior of the inmates.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
The Oklahoman had reported this from November to December 2019. At least four incarcerated people were subjected to abuse, forced to stand in an attorney visitation room with their hands cuffed behind them and chained to a wall. While they listen to Baby Shark.
A little extreme.
It's a bit extreme. It's a form of torture.
It's
legit. So these guys, but there's no.
They were begging to be waterboarded.
Apparently, there's no felony statutes for this, so they were charged with misdemeanors.
All right.
I'd rather hear that than the Pineapple Apple Pen song. You guys know that one?
I do know that one, and I think you're right, Jason.
No, I don't know that one.
Pen.
Pineapple pen, 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 pineapple pen, 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 pen.
All right. This is horrible. But this is a follow-up story. A Michigan cannibal charged with killing and mutilating a man he met on the dating app Grindr late last year is mentally fit to stand trial. The judge ruled on Monday.
How does one be a cannibal and be mentally fit?
Judge Ward Clarkson.
You can't use both in the same sentence. Right.
No, but he's cool. He's cool.
I guess it has to do with whether you know that the actions that you are going through are bad.
He was an accidental cannibal.
He's one of the good ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So the judge said that they ruled that Mark Latunsky was competent for trial. And is coming up on October 23rd. The 51-year-old had been charged with the murder and mutilation of Kevin Bacon.
Wow, man.
Who was found.
Honestly, bacon is in his name. I'd probably eat him, too.
Found dead inside a secret room in the basement of his.
He had previously eaten Joey Waffles.
4 days earlier, he was last seen alive, Bacon was found by police suspended from a ceiling by his ankles. He had been stabbed twice before having his throat cut. An investigator say Latunsky admitted later to cutting off the victim's testicles with a knife and eating them.
Did he cook them?
I don't know about that. So anyhow, this guy is, he's going to face trial.
But he's 100% competent.
Yep. The family of a 74-year-old dementia patient was shocked to find out that she ended up in the Pasco County Jail after she walked away from her Dade County nursing home last week. It turns out police picked up Gwen Donahue on an outstanding warrant from nearly a decade ago.
Outstanding.
Her daughter, Megan, said when she wakes up in the morning, she doesn't know where she is. She probably thinks that she's done something wrong and we've abandoned her. It's a distressing notion for Donahue, who says that her mother is in poor physical and mental health and doesn't pose a risk to the public. Donahue explains that her mother wandered off from her nursing home last Wednesday. She apparently made it 3 miles before officers found her. But they also found a 2011 arrest warrant out of Sumter County when they ran her name. And they later booked her into the county jail, even though she has dementia.
So she matched someone else or it was her?
It was hers from an old DUI.
Oh. Okay.
So apparently Megan called the warrant, which she said had no knowledge of, a huge shock. She said, my mom has no priors. She's this little old Catholic lady. My mom shouldn't have to spend another minute in there. But her mother had paid the fines for this DUI and completed the community service and had apparently overlooked a 2-hour online course. So that's why the
warrant
was out.
It was still sitting there, huh?
Because she was booked without bond, she can't be released until a judge signs off on the release, and they haven't done that yet. She's being held for days.
And she's got dementia.
Yeah. After nearly a week of calling authorities, a judge finally
signed... They went lighter on the cannibal.
They released order yesterday, so she's going to be released today. So, wow. All right, we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. There was a guy who peeled a banana and found that it was actually a double-barreled bad boy banana. Student Tom Symes bought a bunch of bananas, this is in England, at his local Tesco, but failed to notice that one was considerably larger than the others. The 24-year-old was perplexed when he opened the banana to find two inside, which had merged together.
Two, like a Siamese twin banana.
I saw a picture of
it. Oh, I'd love to see that.
It's pretty damn
is
cool.
It?
Yeah.
Oh.
You should win a contest for that.
The 24-year-old was perplexed when he opened the banana to find that the two were merged together. He eventually overcame the surprise and ate one of the fingers before giving the second one to his mom.
So we're looking at this, and so the bananas appear to have separated a bit.
Yeah, I think that was after
they were let free.
He said, I was immediately astonished by its girth. Upon opening,
it felt really good.
It was revealed to be a double banana in one skin. He said, I was surprised and dumbfounded at first. I thought it might have been a bit rotten, so I was glad to see there were no spider's eggs inside.
It's a double banana!
According to experts, around 5% of bananas can grow into what they call double fingers.
Double fingers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
But most are discarded.
Double banana.
Double bananas are understood to be very rare. In extremely rare cases,
double produce.
Four-finger bananas.
Four-finger bananas?
That's your regular Saturday night thing man, if you get a four-finger one, so.
Oh, yeah. Once for each finger. Wow. I did not even conceive of the notion, but now, to me, that's like finding a pearl in an oyster.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have. Your bizarre file. Now I'm imagining people wearing banana necklaces.
Where are my bananas?
Yep.
I'm going out for the evening.
Hey, the Brick and Barrel has dropped off food today, part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night Homegate kickoff, and you can visit WMMR.com/Bud Light.
You dove on one of their sandwiches.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, was it brisket?
Braised short rib.
Ooh.
No, I'm sorry. The sandwich was brisket. The braised
regular Thursday night thing.
They also have a braised short rib turnover.
Oh, yeah.
But the brisket sandwich is on a pretzel roll.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Pretzel roll is the greatest thing ever. I think it even surpasses the quadruple banana.
But go to WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football Homegate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the President's Steve Show. And as part of this year's Platinum Seltzer Thursday night Homegate kickoff, you can win incredible prizes for your Homegate party, including a case of Bud Light Platinum, $100 Primo's gift card, custom MMR and Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and a $25 gift card from a local restaurant like the Brick and Barrel.
Listen, so things are modified. We're dealing with it. That is a hell of a cool package, and you guys have gone and done these deliveries.
Yeah.
And the people.
Oh, yeah. It's a regular Thursday night thing, baby.
Listen, Casey and I filmed a commercial last week, and I don't like seeing myself on camera, but this is a really funny commercial, and Casey, your acting is top-notch. Nick Murphy is a great editor, and so it's on the contest page on WMMR.com, and Casey and I do a high-five at the end. That is ridiculous.
That's
but it's fun. It's funny. Oh, yeah. It is. Steve, it's a cool contest, and I'm really glad we're doing them this season.
All right.
And so thanks to Bud.
Absolutely, yeah.
Callers 10 and 11, I give you $25 gift cards for the Brick and Barrel, 870 Welsh Road, Maple Glen, and you can go to thebrickandbarrel.com. You're going to love their food, man. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We were talking about Eddie Van Halen passing, obviously, and going through some great stories from, you know, people who are huge fans, ourselves, and our personal connection to him. I wore my Eddie Van Halen shoes.
Well, let's take a look.
I saw these, that.
Yeah, they're the Frankenstrat shoes, and I got them through the official, you know, Eddie Van Halen's EVH is what it's called, essentially, his, and it says inside the soles, it says
5150. That's awesome.
I love these shoes. I love them so much. They didn't have my size. I bought them a size too big, and I wear them anyway because I wanted them so bad.
My God, that's like a true shoe purchase. You wanted them so bad, they didn't have your size, you got the size bigger.
And you never wear stiletto heels, and you bought
never.
It. Yeah.
No, but this pattern is so iconic, and you know it's for those who obviously who can't see on the radio.
Yeah.
No, it's the red, white, and black. You know, decorated like his guitar.
Do we know where the origin of that pattern came from? Does that have any meaning for Eddie, or is it just something that he happened to like?
I don't know where he got the idea. I have no idea,
because it is so iconic. If you're talking about imagery from rock, that means.
Yep.
Yeah, people can identify instantly. We were talking earlier about a contest based on can you name what was on the album cover?
Yeah,
you know, we just starting to put that together. I mean, you know, you would identify that immediately as Eddie Van Halen.
Steve Vai, who I consider to be possibly the greatest guitarist I've ever seen. Eddie, you know, is groundbreaking, but Steve Vai is just an incredible musician. He posted a picture yesterday, a pair of shoes like this. You know, but they were Chucks, but the iconic pattern, and it just said all he posted was never to be filled.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so beautiful. It was excellent. Really good phone calls I need to go to. Casey, who should I go to first? We have Kurt, who actually won the contest.
What?
To be with the weekend with Van Halen that little documentary was written about is on the line.
Yeah.
But we also got our buddy Craig Gass, who lived with Ed for a while.
And then we have another guy who we got his he called during the Bizarre File. We got his number and we called him back. I would say
they're all good.
You want to go to Craig
Let's
first?
Let's put them all on together and have them talk simultaneously.
No, we're not going to do that. Right. Kurt and Dan, if you guys can hang on the line for a moment, because we did contact Craig yesterday about coming on the show today because he was really, really close with Ed.
Great stories.
A great story specifically about cable television. But it's tough to welcome people on to a show and say, hey, how you doing? But I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, Craig, how you doing, man?
Doing okay, guys. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, man. So, you know what? You were one of the first people we thought of because you had, you know, told us the story about how you stayed with Ed. And how did all that come about again?
I met his assistant backstage at a concert in Los Angeles and was told, this guy lives with one of the biggest rock stars on the planet, but don't tell him I told you that. And then I got the introduction. The guy knew who I was because he's a big comedy fan. And so we exchanged phone numbers, and I said, hey, you want to go bowling next week? And he said, sure. And he showed up at the bowling alley with Eddie Van Halen.
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
You want to go bowling.
Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I was like, I don't know anybody in Los Angeles. So if you want to hang out, I don't know, let's go bowling. Mm-hmm. And the day of the bowling that we were going to hit it up, he called me up and said, hey, do you mind if I bring my friend Ed with me? Because I've been telling him about you for a long time. And I said, yeah, I don't care. And he goes, all right, because he's got a kid. His kid's 12, and I said, dude, it's bowling. Who cares? Let's have fun. And when he showed up with Eddie Van Halen, I realized, oh, my God, the kid is Wolfgang Van Halen.
Yeah.
And then I start piecing the whole thing together that Maddie is Eddie's assistant. Maddie lives on the property with Ed. He lives in a guest house, and he runs the 5150 Studios. And he knows everything about me and is telling all these stories about me to Eddie. So while we're bowling, Eddie is genuinely fascinated with my story and asking me about my life, including, then you referenced this, I told a story on the air once about how I had been broke
my whole life. And yeah. all I've ever wanted, once I started making money, all I ever wanted was to own an illegal cable box. I wanted one of those illegal cable boxes that'll unscramble all the channels. And at the bowling alley, Eddie is smoking a cigarette. You're not supposed to be smoking in the bowling alley. And he goes, dude, I heard you were broke your whole life. Me too. And I heard that all you ever wanted was an illegal cable box. Is that true? And I said, yeah. And he goes, that's crazy. Because, and he looked both ways and he went, I got an illegal cable box too. And I said, and I said, really? And he goes, yeah, the thing is, I'm rich, but don't want to pay for cable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then over the course of the next year and a half, I would come over to the house, to, specifically to the studio, to hang out with Maddie. And then Eddie would show up and we would hang out. And then I got in this really bad relationship that ended horribly one night. And I called Maddie to say, I'm in a lot of pain. And this relationship did not end well. And he said, hold on, Ed wants to talk to you. And he put Ed on the phone. Ed said, dude, I told you she was a whore.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Did not mince words.
Yeah. And I said, yeah. And he goes, and dude, you're living with her. What are you living with her for? And I said, she's the only person I know in L.A. I don't know anybody else. And he said, dude, pack up your stuff and move in with me. And I said, is that okay? And he said, yeah. He goes, dude, you can stay in the recording studio. Just keep in mind, don't tell anybody, but the band's getting back together, so it's going to be noisy at night. And I was like,
oh my God.
I said, so the only thing I have to worry about is the fact that Van Halen is going to be playing in the next room. And he said, and he goes, well, I know you're working on your TV show. And I was working on a new show on NBC called Las Vegas at the time. So I packed myself up. I moved in with him. And it was very surreal because I was trying to live a life, but I'm also in Eddie's house. I remember one night meeting a girl, a really cute girl who texted me late at night and said, hey, do you want me to come over? And I said, sure. Ooh, actually, I don't know. Here, let me find out.
Right.
And she thought I had a girlfriend or that I was married. And I said, no, I am single. I just, let me just, I'm living in an unusual situation. And I grabbed Ed and I said, hey, Ed, I met a girl tonight. And I don't know if this is okay. Is it okay to invite her over just to stay with me up at the studio? And he said, dude, get some puss.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, but you're thinking, okay, you've got to make sure you, because you can't compromise, you know, his address and you can't have all that go away. But she, of course, is going to think that you're laying some sort of, you know, BS on her because you've got something that you can't report to her. But, yeah, how wild is that, that you got to run it by and that he's totally cool with it? So you got her back to the place eventually. How did that play out?
Well, that's the weird part is I don't know how to tell her. She's asking me all these questions of like, why do you need permission to have somebody come over?
Yes.
And I said, I'm just, and I had her meet me at the bottom of the hill. There's a Ralph supermarket on Ventura. I had her leave her car at the Ralph and I drove her up the hill and I still don't know how to say it to her. So I don't say anything.
Oh my God.
So we pull up through the back entrance. There's two entrances to get onto the property. The back entrance is next to the studio where I live. And we go through the back entrance. I open the door to the studio. I let her walk in first. She walks in, looks around and goes, Jesus, is your friend like the biggest Van Halen fan on the planet? And then she starts to look around and go, wait a minute, how do you get this? Wait a minute, how do you get this? And I finally just said, do you hear the noise in the next room? Okay, that's Van Halen playing in the other room. This is Van Halen. This is Eddie Van Halen's house, and he's just letting me stay here until I get back on my feet again. And she went, oh, okay. And to answer the next question that every guy asks, the answer is 2 minutes. It took 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Done deal.
Wow. Done deal.
Yeah.
Wow. How long were you staying there, Craig?
I was there for about 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
And then a really unfortunate thing happened, which is an understatement. I found out a year later that the entire time I was living there, Eddie's assistant, Maddie,
was hooking up with my ex the entire time.
Are you kidding me?
No. And Maddie ended up dating her for 5 years. They almost got married. And it was this gut punch that I stopped contacting Maddie. I stopped contacting Ed. And a few years ago, I just wanted to clear the air with Ed because I had to believe that Ed was on my side of things.
Yeah.
And I called him up out of the blue, and he said, hello? And I said, hey, Ed, what's going on, buddy? I said, who's this? And I said, it's Craig Gass. And he said, Craig, how you doing, buddy? And I said, I'm doing good. What are you up to? And he said, I'm on the toilet taking a dump. And I said, oh, okay. I said, you want me to call you later? And he goes, no. Talk to me. And he's smoking a cigarette, taking a dump.
I was like, oh, my God.
And I said, I'll call you later. And then I hung up, and that's the last time I talked to him. I felt so uncomfortable.
So let me ask you, so this Maddie, is that the reason that she, I don't know how the relationship ended with this girl, but was he part of the reason that you guys broke up and you didn't know it?
No, she just... She had a lot of issues that came out one night. We were at a party at this thing called the NAMM Show in L.A., and I left her for 2 minutes to go to the bathroom, and when I came back, she was making out with some guy.
Okay, that's a problem.
Yeah,
that's a problem. But it's funny that you asked that question, because when I went, after Eddie said you can move in, I went to her place to start getting my stuff the next day. And when I was there, her phone was ringing, her answer machine came on, and I heard Maddie's voice.
Oh,
and Maddie was doing the cool guy voice. Hey, what's up, Shell?
That's
going to call and say hello and give me a call. Okay. All right. And when I got to the house, I said, hey, dude, I need to talk to you. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And I said, when I was at the house, the phone was ringing and I heard you on the answer machine. And he said, oh, dude, is that bad? And I said, well, just let me finish. And I said, I'm in a lot of pain. This is not fun for me because I really care about her. And it's hard for me to have my friends contacting her. And he said, dude, done deal. That's all you have to say.
Okay.
Put a bullet in it. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt. And a year later, when she texted me and said, I'm in love with Maddie, again, I gave her the benefit of the doubt and replied, Maddie who?
Yeah. You don't want to believe it. But, man, so, well, that's one of the rules you do not violate. And you have, and he was a good friend of yours. He should have respected that a little bit more.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, before I get off the phone, and you really should cue up a track from Van Halen to go with this story. It's a track called 316. 316.
Oh, yeah. We played it earlier this morning. Yeah,
316. It's off the album For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Yep.
There was one night, Eddie had just gotten out of a relationship himself at the time in 2004. He was dating this girl, and he started telling me about how his son had recently said to him, Dad, I want to learn how to play guitar. And Eddie said, okay, I'll try to find somebody to teach you. And he said, I want to learn from you. So Eddie started teaching his son how to play guitar. And his son, behind his back, started to learn this song. This is a song that Eddie played on Valerie Bertinelli's belly when Wolfie was in her womb. Mm-hmm. And when Wolfie would start kicking, Eddie would put the guitar in the belly and play this to get him to calm down. So Wolfie did his first show at school at a talent show. And Eddie went with a video camera to film his kid. And his son walked out on stage and said, hi, my name's Wolfie. This is a song my dad wrote to play when I was in my mom's belly, and it's called 316, and he started playing this song.
Wow.
And Ed said that tears were just running down his face.
Oh, you know? Man. What a great story. Yeah, and the 316 is his birth date. That's when Wolfie was born. That's why they named it that. So.
Correct, and I think it's okay to say this. It was also the security code to get in the studio.
It's okay to say it now.
At this point.
Wow.
Great stories, Craig.
Yeah, Craig, thanks, man. Listen, what's going on with comedy and you right now and shows? Everything on hold, or are you getting out and doing some stuff?
Comedy's a little weird, but we're getting through it, man. Okay. I'm just glad to reconnect with you guys.
Yeah, you too.
Well, when you're back in town, and it will happen, and we get past all this, we got to have you back in. But it was great to get that perspective, and those stories are just such a peek at what he's about. So awesome.
All right, Craig, we'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks a bunch.
All right, good to see you guys.
Yep, you too. All right, Craig Gass, guys.
Yeah.
Wow. And I was bummed that we lost the guy,
we Kurt. We lost Kurt!
Oh,
Kurt,
man.
Who won the Van Halen weekend.
Call back, Kurt.
Kurt, we need you back. I was just ready to go.
We want you back.
We want you back in Philly.
We want you back in Philly, Kurt. I can't believe Kurt was calling our phone. Phone.
Can you imagine having an experience like that, like Craig did, got to...
Live there?
Live there so, for months?
People who die to get seats within 30 rows of the stage for a Van Halen show... This was on the other side of the wall where he was. Unbelievable.
I was watching new music. Yet to come out.
I was watching a video yesterday of Eddie's guitar solo. It was like a 13-minute solo. And during the solo, he would take, you know, the guitar picks that he was using, and he would throw them out into the crowd. Right. And I was thinking, man, how cool would that be to catch a guitar pick?
Yeah.
Not as cool as living with him.
Living in 50.
That trumps that.
Yeah.
All right. While we're waiting to get Kurt back on, if hopefully we can get him on, we have Dan, who's a professor of guitar at Rowan University. Hey, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. We're talking about Ed and the impact that he had and on you know just fans of music, but for guitar players, how old are you, by the way?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I just turned 50 years old.
Okay. You just turned 50. So you, like me, you know, grew up. You were a kid, and Eddie was established and was bursting onto the scene. And was he one of the reasons you wanted to play, or did you learn and then discover him?
He's certainly a major influence. I remember sitting in my best friend's bedroom and just blasting Eruption.
Yeah.
And, I literally have never heard anything like that and never knew that a guitar could make such a sound.
Yeah.
So it was absolutely mind-blowing when I first heard it, for sure.
So from a guitar professor, from your perspective what can you tell us about Eddie's guitar playing?
Well, he's certainly a total innovator, although many techniques that he used, now I'm going to sound very professorial, so excuse me. I certainly did not live with Van Halen, nor did I go bowling with him.
But yeah, that stuff existed, right? What he was doing.
It did, but not to kind of the way he innovated it, for sure, with electronics. And that was kind of what I actually just wanted to text you about Casey's question about tablature.
Okay.
That has been around since the late 1400s.
Okay.
So Eddie was old.
Yeah, no one really knows.
Yeah.
But that was really what I want to clear up. But he is right in what Eddie was saying in that speech that you guys played, was that there's not a lot of ways in formal notation to describe what you can do with that.
Okay.
And I think someone mentioned about Neil Peart's drumming at the end of Subdivisions, and there's not a lot of notation that can really cover exactly what he was doing, and that was the beauty of it, is that he kind of turned traditional stuff on its ear, really.
Right.
So with the things that Eddie Van Halen did, and of course the tapping of the guitar and all that stuff, and as I referenced earlier, we had Steve Hackett on, the Genesis guitarist and a great guitarist in his own right. And he said he had been doing it, and he was a big fan of Van Halen's as well. And it, you know, like a lot of these guys, they sort of pick little things from other people and incorporate it into their own deal, and they improve upon it and innovate it. If you were to say what was the one thing that just blew you away and you think is the most substantive of the thing Eddie brought to the guitar?
Well, certainly the tapping is one thing that most people kind of latch on to, and that actually existed long before he was doing it. But the way he kind of tweaked his electronics, much like the way Les Paul did. I mean, Les Paul, the famous guitar maker, and the guitar Les Paul is named after him, but a lot of people don't really realize how innovative as a player Les Paul was, mm-hmm. along with his, you know, basically inventing multi-track recording. And so I think the biggest thing is a lot of his innovations in the way he tweaked the electronics, along with taking, you know, somewhat traditional techniques and just turning him around, which is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, you know, Jimmy did with Feedback back in the day and started to use sounds that your amplifier could bring out of the instrument and then start to engage them tonally into the music.
Yeah,
was you know, hey, this thing can do a lot of stuff here. We need to explore this, you know. And it seemed like Eddie went further in his exploration with that stuff, and he customized a lot, not only his guitar but his electronics as well, you know.
Right, and if he found something that he couldn't find elsewhere, he invented it himself, which is absolutely amazing.
That's what geniuses do, man.
Yeah, you can't see it here, but I don't have a table to hold my computer the right way, and I innovative by putting a thing across the armrest, and I rest my computer on it. So in many ways, I'm like Eddie Van Halen.
Like Eddie Van Halen. A lot like him.
Yeah.
Revolutionary.
Yeah, yes. It's exactly the word no one would use.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate the input, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. We'll
rest
see you later.
Peace, Eddie Van Halen.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that was the thing, man, because he would, you know, he did these techniques. I remember somebody telling me about, like, they're called walking harmonics, and he would play these different harmonics and have the volume turned down, and then he would bring them up together, and they made this wild sound when he would use the tremolo, you know, the whammy bar, and incorporate it, or banging on the side of the guitar to get a sound out of it.
I just wanted to mention that there's a lot of really good content up on WMMR.com and PrestonandSteve.com, including, Steve, that interview with Eddie at the Smithsonian from a few years ago. And so if you're looking for any of that stuff, a lot of rockers, as you would imagine, have tweeted about it over the last couple of hours. So that content's up on the website, too. I wanted to ask you guys which you thought had a bigger pop culture impact on you, Back to the Future or Better Off Dead, when it comes to Van Halen music showing up in a movie.
Oh, wow.
Back to the Future.
No. I'm sorry. No, Better Off Dead. The
claymation
sequence of Everybody Wants Some.
Yeah, with a burger.
I'm like, I can't believe they're doing Van Halen in this part.
That's what I thought.
And the guitar has his own little Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Black and white striped guitar, red and black and white striped guitar. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yes.
Iconic is Back to the Future.
But the movie is bigger, but the segment of them actually using that song, I thought was pretty badass.
I was trying to think of other movies where their music showed up and nothing came
there,
to mind.
There was a movie called The Wildlife.
Oh, it was an unofficial sequel to Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Chris Penn was in it, and Eric Stoltz. There's a song that was written specifically for that movie, and it wasn't a song that ever really did anything from Van Halen, and I couldn't tell you what it is. But that's the only other one I can really think of.
In Fast Times, Spicoli references Van Halen at the end. You know,
like, he gets the money.
Yeah. From Saving Brooke Shields and surfing. Right. Surfing from drowning. Yeah.
Those guys raft. Yeah. there is, and I don't know if I've had the chance to send it over. It's Brian May, and it's Eddie Van Halen. They played together on an album he requested. It's called Starfleet.
All right, before we do that, I don't want to lose Kurt again.
Oh, no, Kurt's back on!
So Kurt's on the line. Kurt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, sorry about that, man. How you doing, bud?
All right, how are you?
Good. So you won the Weekend with Van Halen contest?
Yes.
And this
Weekend with Van Halen.
That was what year?
That was 84.
Okay, so when the album came out in 1984, you entered, was it through MTV?
Yeah, MTV, yep.
Okay, and so, dude. Yeah, I mean, tell us, walk us through what you can. I know you've told the story a gazillion times in your life, but we want to hear it.
Well, I mean, just to enter, I mean, I just sent him 13 postcards and, I sent in 8 postcards. Okay, then like 5 days before the deadline, then I'm walking past post office and I buy 5 more to make it lucky 13.
Yeah.
So then, I guess, I forget, the woman, this executive, whatever, from MTV called me like a week or two before they announced it. And she said, you know, I want to verify your age on this postcard.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking they want to verify age on all the postcards. And my brain wasn't functioning well. But,
they're going to verify age on every postcard they get. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Exactly. And she goes, okay, good. Well, I just want to inform you, you're our grand prize winner. And I'm like, my sister was there, and she said, you better sit down before you fall down. Palms on my hands were sweating. I mean, it was, you know, and she asked me when I entered, check this out. And she said, oh, you wait till last minute. So one of the second set of five postcards. The second time I sent in, you know, that was one of the winners. So
yeah,
it was supposed to be whatever. All right, so what do you want? I mean, like,
so you get contacted. You're going to go tour with the band. When do you first get into it? When do you first meet the band and start the whole weekend?
Yeah. Well, I got to take a friend with me, you know, and limousines picked us up, took us Philly Learjet out to Detroit, and
did you guys start drinking right away?
No, we didn't until Valley Bertinelli gave us our first drinks after we got to the
Valley Bertinelli gives you your first drink. I'm having a feeling this weekend had a long impact on you.
I don't think it ended yet.
Well, she gave us the first drink when we got to the Cobo. It was the Cobo Hall then,
uh-huh.
Cobo Arena, whatever in Detroit.
Yeah,
but
Did you fly like a Learjet or what did you?
Oh, yeah.
What
he said,
Learjet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Learjet. Come on.
Wow.
Kurt, real quick, when did you have the brain injury? No, I'm serious. This is a serious question. Did you have the brain injury before the?
Yeah. I didn't know you had a brain injury.
That's why I brought it up.
Oh.
Yeah, that was October of 1982.
Okay. Which you had not disclosed to the Van Halen people before taking this weekend, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, it didn't have any relevance, I thought. So, I never in my mind a million years to say something. I mean, I was
sure you didn't think you were going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so you do it. You go on and we were watching footage of you getting a cake on stage, a huge cake which they smashed all over you, and then shower you in champagne.
And did you stay with them the whole weekend? Were you with the band the whole time, or did they just kind of have you hang out in Detroit?
Well, that night we went down to the backstage. Was like when I first went out. When I got the cake in my face, then I went all the way back and to where I was about to start changing. They said, "You want you back out there?" So that's if you see the video, like the MTV video, I come running back out at the very end when they're and. It's funny. Somebody, I'm slapping hands the audience, and somebody grabs me and starts pulling me in to the audience. And Dave grabs me and pulls me back. But that's just an irrelevant thing. But then we went backstage and had, they ate like filet mignon and lobster tail. And
that total rock star treatment.
That's an unbelievable experience.
When you hear, dude, I got rock star treatment. That's what they were.
And you know what? This used to be kind of the standard thing for all of the ups and downs of MTV and. There was a time, even with radio and giveaways that we would do, where that you'd get stuff like this. You don't see it much anymore.
Oh, no. Like, my friend said, the guy I took with me, Tom, on a documentary, he said, for something like that nowadays, you'd be signing so many
waivers.
I mean, and what's called, I forget where I'd heard that. The way Van Halen treated us. I mean, they treated us like we were one of the guys.
That's awesome.
It blows me away because somebody had said that was one of the best contests, the way they treated us.
Yeah.
They said a lot of contests, you get to meet the band, and then, that's almost it. But we hung out with them, drank, and, other stuff. And,
yeah.
You were given the full deal.
They had cameras with them, so they were going to document this. So they were going to, you were getting the real treatment.
Yeah, but the cameras weren't allowed off back where we were. You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
So even while the cameras weren't back there, they were still hanging out with you, even though it wasn't for like for video stuff. They were hanging out with you anyway. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like, Dave talked to me about his, going on safaris, a mountain climbing, doing whatever. I mean, it's.
That is cool. That is really cool. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I mean, people call me from all over the United States, because they zoomed in on my postcard. It was Martha Quinn was the one that announced it on MTV.
They zoomed in on your postcard with your personal information?
Oh, my God.
But she had her finger over my phone number, but...
It didn't help. You could still look. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
In New York, everywhere, people wanted me to take them with me or bring guitar picks and stuff.
Right.
In this day and age, they I guarantee you there would have been lawyers contacting you for that breach of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But a lucky kid from Phoenixville gets to go hang out with Van Halen for an entire weekend.
Kurt.
Yeah, second night, we saw him again in concert. We were in the pit with the security in front of the stage, and Eddie was making faces at me, fucking guitar picks. I mean, it was like, when I think about it, I still get a rush. It blows me away. I mean,
yeah, their attention was on you. That's really, really cool. I think they maybe, saw you as the whole fandom,
their fan base. Yeah, emblematic of who got them there. It sounds really nice, man. That's a great, great memory. Great.
Hey, you know what? One time, like a year or two after my contest, I came down to your station. I forget who
the DJ was.
It was a female, but they gave some kind of a Van Halen award, and he asked me to come down, and I was just on the air for a short time. I don't know.
That's cool, man. Wow.
But it was good stuff all around, man.
Good for you, Kurt. Well, sorry you had a personal connection, and obviously Ed's gone, but, people like you have great memories, and it's awesome to hear about it. But thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks very much, guys. Love your show, brother.
Thank you. We'll check out the documentary, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch that today. It's called Lost Weekend Partying with Van Halen.
Crazy.
It's only like 15 minutes long, and we're watching clips of it right now. That's, man, that's the 1980s, dude. So cool. Wow. All right. Well, listen, we do need to take a break,
yes.
I believe. So I want to do that very thing now. I'm going to get some of the tributes Well, Steve, did we want to play that thing real quick?
I think you might find it interesting. It's both Brian May and Eddie Van Halen playing at the same time.
Called Starfleet?
Yeah, it's a theme for a Japanese sci-fi show.
Okay. I feel like Eddie's playing the rhythm part.
There's like a guitar solo later on, but it's...
I guess that's Brian May singing, probably. Wow, I never knew that existed.
Yeah, it's cool.
I love finding out about stuff.
Yeah.
About that you never knew about. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I believe we're going to have Beverly Goldberg on.
Yes.
Oh. Ms. Goldberg is going to be joining us. Turns out she listens to the Preston Steve Show.
How about that?
From the Goldbergs. We'll come back and we'll do some more giveaways with the Brick and Barrel. Today's Thursday night home gate kickoff partner with Bud Light Platinum Seltzer. We'll get you the details. You can go to WMMR.com and find out how you can win some great stuff. We'll be back in a moment.
WMMR.com, a great way to stay up to date on the latest rock news and station happenings. Listen live via your laptop, the free mobile app, or just tell your smart speaker to play MMR. From Preston and Steve's Daily Rush to Pierre's Weekend Calendar and the latest on Jackson's Local Shots, it's everything that rocks your computer.
By the way, while we're doing this tribute to Eddie Van Halen today, we do have a few other things that are going on. We have a secret text word, a chance for you to win a digital download of Beetlejuice.
That was Eddie Van Halen's favorite movie of all time.
It was, text the word secret to 39333. See, it all ties in together. And there was something I was going to say, and I don't remember what it is. So, we'll just welcome our next guest. How about we do that? We do know that she listens to the Preston Steve Show. She recently tweeted a response to something that we had tweeted, and her son had responded to that tweet saying how much he loves the fact that she listens to our show. And right now she's talking to Linda Schwartz while waiting to call her. So let's get her on. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Beverly Goldberg.
Yeah.
Mother of Adam Goldberg. Beverly, good morning.
Hi, how you doing? I'm actually off the phone with Linda because I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, okay.
That's great. We appreciate that.
How's Linda doing today?
She's on her way. They're on their way down to the shore. We were just discussing that we were going to order Sacco subs for lunch.
Oh, okay. So, Beverly, if you don't mind, I refer to you as Beverly. Listen, because of the Goldbergs and our friendship with Adam
And just my wife and I watch the show every night in syndication when new episodes air. You've whether it was intentional or whatever, you know, the country has sort of adopted you as their mom and your family as our second family. And it's sort of wild. It must be wild for you, for so many people to know the intricacies of your life. Does it blow you away?
It does. It's kind of crazy right now because, as of last year, Adam is not so actively on the show.
Right.
Giving stories. And we're kind of in a thing going on right now with Chris Bishop and Al Sparrow, who are running the show, that they need to use our stories because, it's really important that they, if you want to keep the show true, and we have a ton of stories. My son and I both have photographic memories. We remember everything, unfortunately.
Well,
stuff I don't want to remember.
Nah.
And Adam has some great story ideas. And it would be a shame if he made a new show and they went to them instead.
No, you raise a good point because I did have this conversation with my wife about there were a couple of things that they that were sort of loving tributes to the pop culture of the time. But you can tell, you have this whole backlog of video that exists and photographic evidence of a lot of the stuff that are in these episodes are absolutely based on things that really happened. And those are always the best episodes.
Well, that's the whole thing, because there's nothing like reality to really give you a view into somebody's life. I mean, when you start making up. You know, last year I had kind of a little meltdown because they had an episode involving Barry that I didn't like. I thought it was put Barry in a poor light. And I got in touch with Chris right away. I said, you can't do that. I said, he has a career. He's a physician. I mean, you can't make him. They made him mean.
Yeah.
Something mean-spirited, especially with his friends. And Barry has never, ever with those JTP boys been mean spirited. They still go to Eagles games together. Barry has season tickets, and he drives or schleps in all the way from upstate New York.
Oh, my God.
He never came to see me.
Of course not.
No.
But JTP still get together? By the way, for those who don't know, it's the Jenkintown Posse.
Yeah.
Do they still get together?
Yes, absolutely. Well, okay. Jeff Schwartz, all the time. I just saw Jeff actually a few weeks ago. He's my ophthalmologist.
Of course.
I went to see him and I said, no games this year. He said, I know, it's a bummer. He said, I'm really, upset about it all.
Oh, man, I'm a season ticket holder. I need to go to a game and hang with the JTP sometime. So we've had Adam on several times, and in the past we have mentioned things that are from this area, and we've actually, with the robot from Pulsations, we were able to locate the robot so that they were able to use it in the show. So I'm just going to throw out a couple of ideas that are, I don't know if you have memories of them, but these are Philadelphia-based things. I don't know if you have any memories from either Sesame Place or Action Park. Do you recall anything from those two places?
Yes. I actually, Sesame Place, I don't know that I went with Adam, but I definitely went with Barry's kids and Barry and his wife. And in fact, it was kind of funny because one of them got in trouble, said something mean. They were little at the time. Said something mean to somebody. And they had to go sit in the car and sulk. Barry's kids tread all over Barry. He's okay. Really easy with his kids. But my daughter-in-law is a little tougher. She's like, you have to do this. And she has instilled in them fabulous manners and so forth and so on. And it's funny because I was just watching the news this morning that they had a thing about twins, these miracle twins or something. And that was the Barry's kids. They were a pound and a half at birth, and they were little tiny things. And now they're in college, and they're fabulous, both of them.
Well, it's obviously you did a damn good job. You've pulled off, I think, with an incredible family, and you did something that I thought, and I was saying to these guys yesterday when we found out we were having you on. when I first heard the concept of shrimp parm, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like that. And then I see it displayed on the show. And the more shrimp parm is mentioned and that it's often used as currency, I'm like, okay, I think I need to check into shrimp parm. And you have a cookbook out now, correct?
I do. And you know what? This is crazy. The cookbook came out at the time of all this COVID. So everybody was stuck home. And well, somebody called me and said they know one of the execs for Amazon. And he and his wife made a banana cake together.
So you have...
And I just thought that was so funny. Amazon, you know.
So, when you have the higher-ups at Amazon employing your recipes, that's great. But now you contend, and correct me if I'm wrong, you say the bread, the banana bread is actually more banana cake. Is that correct?
I never called it banana bread. It's always been banana cake. Anything that's got a cup and a quarter of sugar in it is not a bread. That is not a bread. It's definitely, in fact, yesterday, it's so funny. Last night we had friends over and we ate on my front porch of a big Victorian house here at the Jersey Shore that I own with my kids. It's the Goldberg family home. And a lot of the stuff that you see was filmed here, actually filmed here. But my friend is gluten-free, so I had to, like, really jump through hoops to make a meal that she could eat.
Yes.
And I made her a gluten-free banana cake, which actually turned out really well. The chocolate chips and walnuts, I made that for her.
Is that Linda Schwartz?
No, okay. This is another friend of mine, Florida friends. And
okay. All right, not part of the Goldberg girls.
You know, one thing is really good. Nobody wants to go in your house, so they'll sit out.
Beverly, we can't say that on broadcast radio.
Sorry about that.
No, that's great.
I loved it.
That we wouldn't want anything less. Uh-uh. That's awesome, Dre.
Beverly.
Yeah. You know, somebody one time asked Adam, they said, why do you have your mother cursing so much? So he said, have you met my mother?
Oh, that's hilarious. Which beach town do you go to? Because if you're in a certain couple of towns, I have a recommendation for you.
Center.
Okay, perfect.
My parents bought this house in 1966, and I inherited it in 1981 along with my three children. Actually, I didn't inherit it. My husband married it because my father didn't believe in giving to women.
Oh my God.
So he gave it to your husband?
Seriously?
Yeah, right?
Oh my God.
And my three sons. Wow. Because the males inherit, okay?
Wow.
All right, well. So you're really close to Linwood down there, so I want you to check out. There's a guy, he goes by the Pizza Jew, and he has a pizza place called Bakeria 1010. It is the best pizza down the Jersey Shore. Hands down, you need to check it out. So instead of going to Sack of Suds or whatever you were talking about, go to Bakeria 1010.
I'm writing it down right now. But you know what? We've been getting pizza. I'm really not a big pizza eater. Barry would eat it every day if you give it to him. But I'm not. And we've been going to Saltwater in Margate. They have a really good white pizza with prosciutto ham on it. Really good.
Just if you're on Instagram, follow the Pizza Jew, and you'll see what I'm talking about, because it's not just regular pizza, and I wouldn't steer you in the wrong direction.
Okay, is he like on New Road or something? That's where they all are in Linwood.
He's actually he's in the bottom of like an office building, believe it or not, and there's like a commissary down there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to call, when I get off the phone with you, I'm going to call Linda and ask her.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure Linda's
cool.
I think
Linda will.
I think she's kind of set already on a Sacco.
All right. Well, maybe tomorrow.
You don't want to cause a rift.
Beverly, one of the things I love about the Goldbergs is something that Adam writes in and has been a part of the show, is that when referencing people from his childhood, he refers to them by their full names. There's Dave Kim. There's Ruben Amaro Jr. And I love how Bradley Cooper will show up from time to time. Have you ever had any encounters with Bradley over the years? He was growing up near where Adam grew up as well.
No, you want to hear something? This is really kind of funny, because Bradley Cooper went to school, I think it was Germantown Academy.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Michael Rubenstone, who is a friend of Adam's. And actually, Adam did an episode about called The Other's Mother. Because when they were kids, Betsy Rubenstone and I used to be in competition who had the more talented son.
Yes, it's a great episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, Betsy called me afterwards and she said, "Oh, I'm prettier than the actress who plays me." I said, "It was the personality he was trying to capture."
Well, okay? Let me ask you something with that, Beverly, because it does appear in the show periodically that the JTP and other people will mention that Barry or Adam, you're hot. They would say you're hot mom. Were you considered the hot mom?
I didn't know I was the hot mom. Did I know? It was just the mom.
It's in the show all the time. They say, "Here comes your hot mom," or that who's the hot mom?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because Wendy looks so much like me as I, you know, but Barry always says to me, "You weren't as thin as her." I don't know about that.
Well, I want to ask you because I have a list of things that pertain to the show, and the legend and lore of the show is so great. You can you verify or deny Murray, in fact, did walk around in his underwear all the time?
Well, here's the genesis of that, and I will tell you. You know, Adam changed some stuff around, and Murray did work in his father's furniture store, but he was a doctor.
Right.
He went to medical school, and he had to tell his father, "Sorry, I'm becoming a doctor." He had a family practice at Oconset Olney, and he was really loved. Everybody loved him. And before that, he worked at Rolling Hill Hospital. He was an anesthesiologist. And when he would come home from work, he'd have his green scrubs on. And I said, "You can't come in the house wearing that stuff, germs, everything." So he would strip down, okay? Then he gave up the anesthesia and had family practice. And he was so used to stripping down, he stripped down at the door.
Okay. And more than one of Adam's friends or your son's friends would see him or walking around the house in his underwear and T-shirt.
Chad lived at our house. You have to understand the Krems were like maybe 50 feet away right across the street. And they had four boys and we had three boys and everybody, even the dogs, ran back and forth. And I used to call Jenna, you know, like every 3 months and say, "I think all my umbrellas are at your house."
Well, and the Krems are a big part of the show as well. It's cool to hear that was the case. Now, one of my favorite episodes involves Pops driving the car into a burger joint.
Oh, yeah.
That actually happened?
He did. We took the car away from him. But my father-in-law, Ben, went off the highway. He was the one that went off the highway on 95 in Florida, you know. And after he passed away, we found in the trunk of a car all these slips that he had settled for accidents that he had had.
Oh my God!
And never told Adam, you guys about it.
Yeah, Adam kind of combined both stories because both Pops and Pop both went off the highway.
Oh my goodness! It's a miracle.
I thought it was an exit, and it wasn't an exit.
Now, Beverly, there's one episode, and we spoke to Adam about it. It was from several seasons ago, and it was where he was getting the photo taken of him in that white outfit. And at the end of the show, they showed the picture of it. It was legit. It was real. You picked out that outfit?
Well, you know, you have to understand the context. First of all, he wore the outfit. The first outfit that he wore twice to both his brothers' bar mitzvahs. Adam is 7 and 9 years younger. Uh-huh. Okay? They make him a little closer in age on the show.
Right.
So when Eric got bar mitzvahed, and he was 13, Adam was 4. So he was 4 years old when I put him in that outfit, bought it over at Lord & Taylor's in Second. And that was like the look.
Yeah.
Little kid at that time.
Right.
Okay. Then he was 6 years old and he had outgrown the outfit. But one of my friends across the street, Barbara Elkins, who lived across the street as in Elkins Park, that Elkins. She married George and who lived over at Justin Farms was their family house. At any rate, they live up in Lake Winnipesaukee, and they're next door to Biden. I mean, not Biden, Romney.
Yeah. Wow, so there's some money there.
Yeah. So she lent me her son's outfit, you know, and I put him in that outfit. He was older. He was already 6, and he said, "I'm not getting in that," you know. Yeah. When he was 4, he didn't say anything, and he was cute, and he was a little bit. That's the picture when he was 6 years old. He wasn't 10.
Okay.
I would never have done that when he was 10.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well,
it's embarrassing.
He was on the air talking to us about it. We could sense that he was still completely mortified, but in a loving way. So
you have to understand something. Adam at 6 years old, he had this video camera, and he would go down the shore here, walk up to the boardwalk, we're like fifth house from the boardwalk, and stand there and stop people and say, would you do an interview with me? I'm doing a documentary for CNN.
What?
A documentary for CNN. So he was a little precocious, and he would interview people, and they would come. I said, what did you just do? He said, oh, I was interviewing them. So at 6 years old, when I put that outfit on him, he went, oh, God, no.
Yeah. Hey, with the work with the cameras and so on, did you think it was a phase? Did you think this is something he'll get tired of? Or did you guys know this is clearly his calling? Yeah.
I kind of knew. Murray was like, what is he going to do for a career? What's he going to do? But he was 8 years old, and he said to me, I do not want to be a doctor like the rest of them. We had 12 doctors in the family.
Yeah.
And he said, no way. My father, Pops, was a doctor. I mean, George was, like, blown away when I told him my father was a famous shrink in the city.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He headed up the criminally insane unit at Byberry.
Whoa. Wow. Well, that's wild. Wow. Yeah. That's
wild. Yeah, he did. And he had been in family practice, and when he was 40, he was brilliant. He went back and got a degree, you know, in psychiatry, got a residency and so forth in psychiatry. And, you know, Adam is so much like my father, which is maybe why he's the character. He's like the little engine that could. You know, I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to do this and just work towards your goal. And, you know, it's crazy.
Well,
I mean, I watched it. I watched it, you know, all unfold in front of me. And I thought, you know, I always thought he had something special, but I didn't realize till he actually started seriously writing at about 12 or 13 how good he was. It's
phenomenal. And the fact that he, you know, stuck with it, and he's obviously got the gift. And how much is he connected to schooled? Is that under his control, or is he removed from both now?
You know, last summer I had both Barry and Adam came here to visit. I can't believe it was just a year ago. And Adam hadn't been here at the house in a long time. And he came with the kids. It's when he first sort of stepped down from, you know, the shows.
Yeah.
And they called him about school. They needed him. And you know, I heard him mumbling something about doing it again. And his wife was like giving him the look, you know, like, I'm with the family again.
Well, of the way go ahead.
He was working like 22-hour days.
And,
you know, she said to him, the kids are getting older, and if you want to spend time with them and so forth. So, at any rate, it was funny because Barry, they were coming, and Barry was running around with my husband Stan's labeler, putting his name on everything, so Adam didn't take it, like the hockey stick. And the
dropping the S-word,
potty mouth.
Sorry. So he was running around with the labeler, and I said, you're 50 years old, and you're worried your brother's going to ride your bike, and take the hockey stick.
I guess it never changes, but I mean, that's... That's, but that's why it's so cool, and that's why people connect to it. So I want to ask you. So the book is out. It's called The Goldbergs Cookbook. It's available, I assume, through Amazon. We know it's been given a thumbs up. And you, as you said, the book comes out and COVID hits, and you're not able to promote it. But
I was supposed to do book signings at Barnes and Noble in Philadelphia,
right?
And everything got bumped aside. I did do some PR for it on Instagram and all this stuff. I had to learn how to use Instagram. I had never used it before, and you can only hold your iPad up in one direction and all that. You know, my friend Linda just said to me, are they going to do a Zoom with you today? I said, I hope not. I don't look so great.
I love this. Yeah.
I am wearing pants and stuff. I was in shorts most of the summer, but now it's turned a little cool down here. And to tell you the truth, we're staying here through probably November only because I'm doing some construction work here on the house. I'm finally, after all these years, updating it into the new millennium.
Nice. Beverly, by the way, with the cookbook and everything, what is your screen name on Instagram again?
I think it's under Goldilocks. 405.
What was it, Nick? What was the other name? It was something Parm, wasn't it? Was it Shrimp Parm?
Shrimp. On your Twitter account,
oh,
Beverly.
Twitter.
Yeah, you have a website that's attached to it. Is it Shrimp Parm Book?
Oh, Adam wrote that.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute. Every time he comes, he runs away with my phone, and he does all kinds of stuff. So if I refer to myself, it comes up obnoxious mother or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
He's like fooling around on my phone.
Oh, that's
after
great.
After he leaves, I never know. And then I'll, like, tap something to call one of my kids, and it'll come up whatever Adam has written. So he wrote that.
Even at this point, even at this age, he's doing that kind of stuff. And it shows you that things don't change. One episode, and not to keep fanboying on the episodes. But there's
guys, when I visit Adam in California, I bring toys for my grandchildren and him.
There's one episode, and they use the actual recording where you left about 70 messages on his answering machine, demanding that he call, that he calls back. And again,
well,
wait
a minute.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
That's right.
Ah.
My birthday. And if those kids don't call me, if the only messages I get are all those people on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff, I am really going to be angry. So I'm putting this out there. If any of my kids, like Barry will call. He's always the first one to call. But Eric's mad at me right now.
Why is Eric mad at you?
Oh, I want to come visit. And he said, no way, you're around people. I'm not. We're like in isolation here. That since March, we've been out to a restaurant twice.
Okay.
And that was just recently, and we ate outside. I mean, I've been cooking every single night. I'm so sick of my cooking by now.
Yeah, but you're healthy, so that's, you're doing the right thing.
He put 10 pounds on. He said, what is with these four-course dinners? He said, one thing, it's enough. My cookbook did really well, and I'm excited about that. And I'm looking forward to the new show. I'm interested to see what they do. And, I send now guilt letters to Chris Bishop.
That's excellent.
It's just like he's one of the teachers at the school that you would harangue, and you're getting it done. And I'll tell you what.
That is true. Well, I was there every single day practically. I should have gotten a job. Because, my feeling was, he was a 10 charter and we paid a lot of bucks for it. And I was an ex-teacher. I taught third grade. He had that awful teacher in third grade that was miserable. You know the story.
Yep.
I told you guys the story with him. And he still remembers it. I still remember it. I swear he can't tell time because she harassed him. And he's like psychological with that. Everything
he can't tell time?
He can tell time.
Beverly, we have to have you on again.
Yeah. When all this craziness goes away, you have to come by our studio sometime where we can sit down and, you can make us something to eat.
I'm gonna put the order in for the banana cake and shrimp parm.
Guys, yeah. You're so polite. You didn't ask how old I am. my friend here last night, the guy just told me I look 20 years younger.
Mm.
I said, I love those compliments.
Well, listen, we know you are the hot mom of Jenkintown, so we're color us impressed.
And by the way,
I'll tell you who I look like. When my kids were young and we would go to Florida, everybody would stop me. They thought I looked like Elizabeth Montgomery on Bewitched.
She was stunning.
That's damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did. I did look like it. I say, I'm not her. I'm not her. Please, can we have an autograph? I'm not her.
So, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Yeah.
Better than looking like Darren.
Beverly, so what is the title of the cookbook if people do want to get out and get it?
Okay, it's the Goldberg Family Cookbook.
Okay.
And I wrote the foreword on it. I worked on the cookbook for one entire year.
Okay.
And then, of course, they did it at the publishers, got somebody to try all the recipes and take pictures and all that stuff. So I have a co-writer there that did it. And Adam wrote the end piece about our family. And there are some pictures. There's a picture of me on the back cover that I'll tell you a secret. Adam said he photoshopped because I look fat.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome.
What, Dylan? He said, I made your face. I took away that double chin a little bit.
Oh, my God. That's what great kids are for, right?
You got to love son. You got to love them. Okay. Excellent. So, all right.
you know, I'm hoping they do good stuff with the show this year. And if not, I'm on Chris's case right away.
Yeah. All right. We'll count on you to get it back up to standards.
And happy early birthday.
Happy birthday
to you, Beverly. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
I am 77 tomorrow.
No.
Wow. Oh, my God. It's just like, and Wendy's is her birthday's 2 days after.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
She was actually, she's the same age as Barry. Uh-huh. She was born a week before I had Barry. So she could have been my daughter, absolutely.
And now she's playing you.
And my final word, guys, I really hope that Chris and Alex listen to Adam and take some of his story ideas. Because his mind is like nobody else's. And he's got the funniest stories about our family, and he still has a ton of them. And I was kind of bummed when he left, but I understand that he wanted a life apart from that, and he's developing fabulous new shows for Disney. He sold a couple. He doesn't want to be a showrunner anymore, but, you know, he's involved in everything that he does.
No, I hear you, and I definitely agree. It needs the right touch. So yep. We support your campaigning.
Yes, I am campaigning for that. I mean, Chris would hire me in a minute and give him story ideas, but I'm not, because I'm a lot cheaper than that.
All right.
Well, Beverly, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming on this morning, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yes, and I hope when all this is over, guys, stay safe. Both of you, nobody's been sick. You've been pretty good.
We've been good. Yep. Everyone's good.
Yep. All right, you stay safe too, Beverly. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much. Beverly Goldberg, guys! Yay! Oh, my God. And her, by the way, the website is shrimpparmchef.com. And the location is, and Adam, I guess, wrote this on her Twitter account, Cuddle Fort. She's at the Cuddle Fort. Oh, my God.
Great.
I love her.
She is great.
I love her. She's she dropped the S-bomb twice.
Yeah.
We had to dump out on her. So.
Well, do you remember the episode with the swear jar?
Yeah.
Because the F-word is her word of choice.
Oh, my God.
And then they had one where she was just going, you know, right and left.
I love it.
And it's terrific.
Excellent. I don't know why we've waited so long to have her on.
Yeah.
That was excellent. All right, we need to take a break, so we're going to do that. Come back in a second. When we return, we'll dive into the Bizarre File, so make sure you're with us.
Hit up the WMMR.com contest page for your chance to win the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Homegate Kickoff Prize Pack, including a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card, a 4-pack of custom pint glasses, a case of Bud Light Platinum, and more. All delivered personally by members of the Preston and Steve Show. WMMR.com. Everything that rocks.
We have a new Daily Rush video for you to check out, and it's called German Meditation. The description says, and it's in all caps, clear your mind, schnell, relax, schnell, schnell. What does schnell mean?
Hurry up. Yeah.
It means hurry up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You hear the guy on the tank yell it a lot in Last Crusade in Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay.
Also in Die Hard.
Okay. Yes,
when they're trying to fix the gun to shoot down at the armored vehicle outside of the Takanoa.
Yeah, it's like the only actual German they speak. Isn't that correct? Like they were
Die Hard?
Yeah. No, in fact, he tells him, shoot the glass.
Yeah.
Before that, the reason he says it like that is because he says it in German, and the guy looks at him going, what? He goes, shoot the glass.
Yeah.
And some of the guys are communicating in German that, you know, it's not subtitled as they're coming in. And they're cutting the lines, the phone lines and everything.
Yeah, but I had heard that, and maybe this
is made up?
That they were just making up German words when they were talking.
They were just German gibberish.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a great album, by the way.
German gibberish.
Yeah. My favorite.
The Daily Rush video is now available at PresidentSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. And while you're perusing videos, I had made a drum video a couple weeks ago of Van Halen Unchained.
Uh-huh.
I already had it in the can. I was going to wait for a couple more weeks. I just roll them out every now and then. But
it seems appropriate now.
It passed yesterday, so I put that up on my YouTube page if you want to take a look. It's it. And go to YouTube and just type in my name, Preston Elliott, and you should be able to find it. So it was a fun song.
You do a little
tribute
to
play.
To him as well in the video.
I put a little graphic beforehand and you know, and said, we'll miss you, Eddie.
Little clips of Beetlejuice, right?
It's his favorite movie of all time, which, by the way, is the secret text word prize.
That's crazy.
It's not really his favorite. Well, it may have been. I can never say
there's no way to say it was not. No.
Never heard him say what his favorite movie was. So text
word. He was never asked.
Text word. Eddie, what's your favorite movie?
Beetlejuice.
Text
Text the word secret to 39333, and we'll send a word back to you. We'll see if you win in a little bit. All right, let's do the Bizarre File right now.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Horizon Services. Take the stress out of fall heating problems by taking $50 off any heating repair, plus get a free one-inch filter, two-year guarantee included. HorizonServices.com.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. A woman crazily threatened to kill her boyfriend's family dog after they changed their Wi-Fi password and refused to give her the new one.
He was going to murder the dog because he couldn't get access to Wi-Fi?
Was.
Oh, she was?
She was, yeah. So it's a five-minute video of the unnamed tenant freaking out on the family's front doorstep. And I will read you the excerpts from. So the footage was filmed by the person's friend whose brother lives in the basement with the woman. And she's yelling, "I live here. It's illegal. Why don't you come outside and be a woman? Come outside. Let's talk. Give me the effing Wi-Fi before you get arrested and your mom, because I live here and it's illegal. If you want me to try that way, or you want me, or you want your dog to come dead." She
what? She left out a few words.
That's what she said. "Or you want your dog to come dead?" She says, "I have ways in and your dog won't be breathing tomorrow. You have 2 seconds to give me the Wi-Fi. I need Wi-Fi."
So just because she's in an apartment in the house, yeah, she believes she's entitled to the access to their Wi-Fi?
And then she says, doggy, dead.
Wow, she's like Tonto.
She said, "You're not going to F with me, because when you're outside by yourself one day, you're going to be F'd.
You want walk dead dog?"
The woman boldly threatens to poison the dog, saying she has just the thing for him. She insists that threatening a dog is not against the law because it's not a human being.
"Wi-Fi, no, dead dog, yes."
She said, "What are you going to do, find a new one? You're not going to F with my life, little bitch." The woman then mocks her boyfriend's sister's appearance, saying, "You killed yourself for a nose job. You what? Took too many pills to get your effing nose done, and it looks like S." She referenced the teen's mother losing a case.
"Where are y'all going? What?"
Likely referring to attempts to get them evicted from the basement.
So she's, this video is hilarious. There's a thin window in the door, and the lunatic is outside the door screaming, and even the dog's looking like, "Who is this idiot?"
She said, "So guess what, bitch? You're going to be dealing with me for a very long time, so I suggest you give me the Wi-Fi, or you don't have Wi-Fi, because I have ways around that."
Okay. Then
would you like me to do that? Yes or no? You want your dog dead? "I want you to go away," the teen says. Listen, it goes on for 3 pages. Wow. I'm not going to go through this whole thing. I know. She's crazy. So anyhow, it goes on for 4 pages.
Oh, my God.
There's also just the credits and the appendix.
The police were called on this. Apparently, they've been called multiple times because this woman, she lives in their basement, and they want her out, and so they're working on it. But she looks psychotic.
Completely.
Okay. Security researchers recently found out the consequences of having a major security flaw in a popular sex toy could have been catastrophic for tens of thousands of users. UK-based security firm Pen Test Partners said the flaw in the Kiwi Cellmate internet-connected chastity lock, billed as the world's first app-controlled chastity device, could have allowed anyone, and get this, to remotely and permanently lock in the user's penis.
Wow. Oh. So this is like a submissive thing, right?
Yes. So the Cellmate chastity lock works by allowing a trusted partner to remotely lock and unlock the chamber over Bluetooth and using a cell phone app. That app communicates with the lock using an API, but that API was left open and without a password, allowing anyone to take complete control of any user's device at any time.
Just randomly lock up some dude's penis.
Yeah. So I assume that they hold this control over someone, they wear this thing, and then they hit this button and it locks it.
Right.
And the chamber was designed to lock with a metal ring underneath the user's penis. The researchers said that it may require the intervention of a heavy-duty bolt cutter or an angle grinder to free the user.
So is it like a C-ring?
Either that or, like, you remember we had the guy on the other day talking about penis cage?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
like that.
Stuff like that. So maybe You're not, I mean, like, could you keep someone from going to the bathroom with something like this?
I think you could just pee yourself regardless, but yeah, and maybe short out the circuitry and override it.
Kiwi chief executive Jay Gua had told the publication that a fix would arrive in August, but that deadline came and went. So, you know, hey, download the app and start hitting the button around your office place and see who winces.
Oh, yeah.
And you know they're wearing one. You hear these stories every now and then. A gynecologist who worked at an artificial insemination program at his Dutch hospital fathered at least 17 children using his own sperm without informing the parents.
There's countless stories like this, and don't they take precautions?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Well, what, do they just leave like an open barrel there and the guy sits next to it and just,
with a ladle?
Yeah. Here but, you I mean, go.
If it went through all the testing, Siemens, what's the difference?
I don't know. Gynecologist.
Well, no.
I mean, listen, I guess it's unethical to do that, but...
Well, sometimes people, I think...
ask for specific genetic traits.
They do a screening for, you know, college education and, and some
they don't
things
say,
like
just give me the semen of the guy who stays the latest.
But you're not getting what you paid for.
Right, right.
Essentially is what it comes down to.
I mean, essentially, if they're picking from a menu, right?
Right.
And they're asking for, you know, menu number 22, and you're like, well, I'm going to give him 44 instead.
Then you are in violation of the agreement.
Yeah, but what if he matches 22?
Well, that's not the case.
They didn't ask for 44.
Now, I mean, and mind you, you could give him a 22 and an 18.
Yeah. Kathy, it's IQ. You know, you wanted Evian, but you got, this other, and it tastes slightly different.
You know the taste of the semen you like.
The difference.
But what if it was Evian? What if he matched Evian?
I'm moving on.
You can't get pregnant from Evian.
Why are you even talking about water?
The gynecologist Jan Wildschucht, who has since died, worked at Sophia Hospital, now known as...
I died because I pleasured myself to death.
...as Isala Hospital from 1981 through 1993. The hospital said in a statement from a moral perspective, Isala finds it unacceptable that a gynecologist fertility doctor was both practitioner and sperm donor. Well, I'm glad to hear that. The hospital said the gynecologist
You're going to be my regular Saturday nighting.
The hospital said the gynecologist's donor children who have been confirmed using DNA tests and his family are in regular contact and have a good relationship with each other.
Isn't there a show on right now where there's all, a whole bunch of people, adults, find out that they've had the same father from one of these?
I don't know.
Yeah.
By the way, this case is not the first time a Dutch fertility doctor has been unmasked for using his own sperm to inseminate women. Last year, DNA results confirmed that Jan Kabat had fathered at least 49 children without informing the parents that he was using his own sperm. Yeah. What do they get out of that?
They're carrying
on their line of sorts.
Perhaps,
you know.
But even if the line is unknown,
even though they'll never be in contact with these people, I don't know. Or it's like guys who do upskirt thingies.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah,
it's like Evian.
It's like exactly. I don't get that either.
It's like Dasani and Evian.
I'm a Deer Park guy.
Yeah,
that's good water.
All right, let's get a winner for the secret text word. Kathy, give me a number. Caller, please.
12.
All right, call number 12 at 215-26.
You like that?
Oh, man.
You like that, don't you?
You like that 12.
You like that number, baby?
All right.
It's 2 6s.
Call number 12, 215-263-WMMR. What?
It's 2 6s. That's right. Sure is.
All right, let's see if you know the secret text word. We're going to come back and get a winner, and we'll do lesson question, trash music news as well. Stay with us.
Hear Preston and Steve. You can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly. Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
We got to get a winner for Secret Text Word, right? Yeah. I thought we did. Okay.
Well, we have
this. Yeah, we'll find out a little bit. You know what? I will mention that we had a random texter.
We did.
Who won? Yes, it was Annabelle. All you have to do is, like,
do that.
You lighten your voice up. When, you know, if you're talking like this and all of a sudden you take a moment to go like this, it Annabelle shows up.
All the time.
Hi.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
It will sometimes get me randomly in the day. All right, well, I don't know. We lost the winner. Trying to get him back is a message on my screen. Don't worry about it. Set him up.
Call in and pretend like I'm that winner?
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's do it.
All right.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Are you calling?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I want to do this.
He's going to the other
room. Yeah, go in the other room, please. All right, so we had people text in to 93.3 WMMR to actually 39333, and I think I have someone on the line.
You're doing this?
Yeah. Of course we are.
We have to do it.
Hi, caller, who is this?
Hey, this is Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Hi, Annabelle. Annabelle, do you know the secret text word?
Oh, my God, I do. Am I the 12th caller?
Yes.
Okay, the word is Deo.
Deo, oh, yes.
Oh. Deo. Well done, Annabelle.
Listen.
You must be at work. So quiet.
Annabelle, we have a digital download of Beetlejuice for you.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite movie.
Where is he?
He's in the green
studio.
Room.
Yeah. Bill's office.
He's in the other studio. Did you know that that's Eddie Van Halen's favorite movie?
I did! This is amazing!
All right, congratulations, Annabelle. Hang on the line. We'll get your information.
Wait a second.
What?
Wait, I got a joke for you guys.
Oh, no.
Okay. What is it?
Okay. What has a tiny penis and hangs down?
What is a tiny penis and hangs down? I don't know, Annabelle. What is it?
A bat. Get it? I got another joke. What has a big penis and hangs up?
Oh, I don't know. What is it? Okay.
Here we go.
Wow, that Annabelle is a card.
Yeah, that's good.
So we have a copy of Beetlejuice, right, Casey?
For yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Been here the whole time.
Been here the whole time.
The whole time.
God, it's so stupid. It's like
I just wanted to tell that joke.
Elementary school kids.
I can't believe in 22 years we've never done anything like that before.
I can't believe after 22 years we did do something like that.
Oh my God. Okay, well, Annabelle and Tracy Banks get a digital download of Beetlejuice.
Uh-oh.
Say his name three times and let the hysterical horror begin. Tim Burton's beloved classic Beetlejuice starring Michael Keaton as the ghost with the most is available now in 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital. Am I going to this caller?
I don't know.
No.
Hi, Dave. Oh. Hi, is this Dave?
Okay.
The weirdness is continuing. Dave, do you know the secret text word?
Damn.
Yes, that is correct. Yes, you got it. Now, I'm not going through the spiel again. Hang on. We'll get your information.
Enjoy it. Beetlejuice, you've already seen it.
We're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to give away a $50 dining credit and an overnight stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Let me see what we have here. Mm-hmm. Besides the cello, what does Yo-Yo Ma excel at? 215-263-WMMR. That's when we were doing the stupid question and the birthdays early this morning, the 6 o'clock hour. Besides the cello, what does Yo-Yo Ma excel at? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you're calling in, we will do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what's up?
Well, Cassie Randolph has reportedly filed a police report against her ex, The Bachelor's Colton Underwood, for allegedly placing a tracking device on her car. Underwood is defending himself, saying he just wanted to know where Randolph was all the time and didn't want to kill her or anything.
Hey!
According to the Globe, the upkeep on the Queen's palaces during the corona shutdown is draining the royal family's financial reserves. Things have reportedly gotten so bad that the Queen has started an OnlyFans page.
Oh, God.
Wow. Calls are mounting within South Korea for members of mega band BTS to be given a delay before having to perform mandatory military service. Little known fact, Michael Jackson was given a similar deferment before he finally became a rear admiral. That's your Hollywood track.
Alrighty, let's see if we can find an answer to this question. Besides cello, what does Yo-Yo Ma excel at? 215-263-WMMR. And to Luke, we go, Luke, are you there? Hey, man, thank you for calling me Presbo. Luke, do me a favor, tell me what Yo-Yo Ma excels at.
Yo-yo trick.
You are correct. Hang on a second, Luke. We're going to get your information. And you do indeed get a $50 dining credit and an overnight stay at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino Atlantic City, winner of 17 Best Gaming Awards in Casino Player Magazine, including Best Suites, Best Spa, and Favorite Casino Resort. Indoor and outdoor dining is now available. You can get fall escape rates at the hotel starting at $79 Sunday through Thursday. Visit Hard Rock Hotel AtlanticCity.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you this morning by HERS. Game day traditions even at your home gate. However you are gearing up for the game, make sure to have Philly's favorite chip, HERS. Forever good. Obviously, we've been spending the entire morning talking about Eddie Van Halen and the blind side yesterday at the announcement of his death due to a long battle with cancer. I think we had heard rumors here and there.
Yes.
That things were not so great, but it really hadn't been in the news in a while, and it kind of took everyone by surprise. We have some clips. We've talked a lot of, and we played a lot of songs this morning. I want to play a couple of clips that we have from Eddie talking about growing up and music and so on in his life. So here's one where Eddie and his brother Alex, he talks about him and Alex switching instruments.
Yes.
Because Alex had played guitar, Eddie had played drums, and I'll let Eddie take it from here.
We discovered the Beatles and Dave Clark Five, and of course, like any kid, we wanted the rock and roll. I quit piano lessons and said, I want to get myself a drum kit because I like song Glad All Over by Dave Clark Five, and I wanted to play drums. All I remember is me coming home and he's playing my drums. And then finally I just said, okay, he's just better than I am. So I never wanted to play guitar, but I said, okay, go ahead, take my drums, I'll play your damn guitar.
How funny is that?
And there you go.
Turns out to be the greatest to ever pick up the instrument, and it's because his brother stole his drums from him. But it would have happened anyway. He would have gravitated towards it. I'm certain of it.
I was given the trombone, mm-hmm. and I put that down and never picked up anything.
Mm.
Yeah.
this is Eddie talking about never taking guitar lessons. Here we go.
Instead of reading a book, I wrote my own, so to speak. I'd say that 90% of the things that I do on guitar, if I had taken lessons and learned by the book, I would not play it all the way I do.
Yeah, I believe that.
Steve, did you ever take lessons on the bell?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm really good at that.
Yeah.
You know that. But, I mean, that's a natural thing.
We get little flashes of it every now and then. No, it's interesting that he said that because I remember, you know, Paul Gilbert, who we've had in here before, he was a virtuoso guitarist in his own. And he was, by the time he was 15, he was already, people were going, wow, watch this guy. But I remember reading something about him saying that when he started playing on his own, and it was before he took lessons, he thought for some reason that you only strum up.
Uh-huh.
When you play, you don't strum down. So he only played like that. And what that did is gave him a different kind of start. And so playing up was not awkward to him.
Wow.
And it may have influenced his eventually becoming as good as he is.
It's amazing.
And Eddie kind of having his own little quirky way of teaching himself may have made him as great as he turned out.
Maybe if I had strummed the trombone.
Maybe if you would have tried that. I'm going to play this clip for you. This is, you can hear how torn up he is. We had mentioned Gene Simmons was an early believer in Van Halen.
Yes.
Kind of wanted to, you know, be a mentor of sorts. And he had posted a video. Is this him when he's kind of breaking up?
That, I don't know what this clip is. I think it might be, yeah.
This says Gene Simmons on the passing of Eddie.
Yeah, he's not very emotional in this, but there's a longer clip where he gets a little bit emotional.
There was a short one I saw yesterday where he was about to cry.
Okay, which I thought was pretty... definitely emotional.
Yeah, here we go.
I just found out...
Eddie Van Halen passed away.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm heartbroken. He wasn't just a guitar god to millions of people, but Eddie was a gentle soul. What can I say? Rest in peace, Eddie. Rest in peace.
And as you can imagine, the entire rock community is making statements. Sammy Hagar posted, heartbroken and speechless. My love to the family. David Lee Roth posted a picture of he and Eddie backstage within the past decade. It wasn't really an old picture, writing, "What a long, great trip it's been." Michael Anthony posted photos of the two together on stage in the early 80s, writing, "No words, heartbroken, my love to the family." Excuse me.
Valerie Bertinelli posted a very touching.
Oh, it was really sweet.
Yeah.
I don't have the transcription of it, but she talks about his impish smile and how he gave her the one gift that is
the light of her life or something.
Greater than anything ever. Nick just pulled it. 40 years ago, my life changed forever when I met you. You gave me the one true light of my life, our son Wolfgang. And through all your challenging treatments for lung cancer, you kept your gorgeous spirit and that impish grin. I'm so grateful Wolfie and I were able to hold you in your last moment. So they must have been right there. I will see you in our next life, my love. Oh. So even though they broke up, I don't think it ever died completely.
I think it was.
She
always
got remarried.
She did. Lung cancer, her mention of that, that was something I had not heard. But he was being treated for lung cancer.
Who knows, man? He was. God, did he smoke a lot?
All the time.
Yeah, so that eventually can get to you. Pete Townsend told Rolling Stone, this is interesting, I didn't know this. He said, I was once asked by Michael Jackson to play electric guitar on the Thriller album. I said I couldn't do it, but recommended Eddie, who called and we chatted. He was utterly charming, happy about the connection, but told me how much he was enjoying playing keyboards. His smile was just classic. A man in his rightful place, so happy to be doing what he did. It's completely tragic that we've lost him. He was not just an innovative and stylish player with great taste. He was also a laid-back virtuoso showman who just blew us all away every time.
A suggestion, Pete. I have a bat joke for you.
No. But he goes on to say, every shredder today has lost their master teacher and guide. As he got older, he became more generous and amusing and self-effacing about his enormous gift. He shared so many tricks through guitar workshops online and on TV shows. Immense talent. The great American guitar player. I was hoping that he might be president one day, he said. And people like Brian May. Brian May said, completely gutted to hear the sad news. This wonderful man was way too young to be taken. What a talent. What a legacy. Probably the most original and dazzling rock guitarist in history. I think of him as a boy, an innocent prodigy, always full of joy, always modest. And those truly magical fingers open up a door to a new kind of playing. I treasure the moments we shared. His passing leaves a giant hole in my heart.
Wow.
R.I.P. Ed Van Halen from Bry. And there were more from Neil Sean and the whole band of Metallica, Flea, Mike McCready, Joe Bonamassa, Joe Walsh, Ozzy Osbourne, Steve Vai, Tom Morello. It's funny, you know, Joe Satriani, Tommy Lee, Brian Wilson, Yngwie Malmsteen, even Cat Stevens. And it's funny, you know, Nick, I mentioned Mike McCready. And I always thought of the guys in that era to be kind of anti what Eddie Van Halen was.
Not Mike.
And to kind of frown upon that. You know who was a huge fan of his? Billy Corgan was a huge Eddie Van Halen fan. He wanted to be Eddie Van Halen. And, you know, when that kind of grunge alt-rock movement happened, the guitar solos disappeared. They went away. And I had always thought maybe those guys didn't hold somebody like Eddie Van Halen in high regard, but they certainly did. They were just doing their own thing.
Well, look at Weezer. Look at
Rivers Cuomo.
Rivers Cuomo, the adoration.
Yeah, Pearl Jam and Mike McCready posted something yesterday, which I thought was pretty cool. And Mike adored Eddie Van Halen. His two biggest influences growing up were Kiss and Van Halen. And so he talked about how he learned how to play guitar after listening to Van Halen. He called him, I want to get it verbatim. He says, Eddie was like Mozart for guitar. Changed everything, and he played with soul.
Okay. Wow. So, obviously, there's going to be more and more outpouring as the days go on. So, I'll move on to another loss in the world of music. Singer-songwriter Johnny Nash.
Yeah.
Died at the age of 80. You guys know him. Mm-hmm. His biggest hit was I Can See Clearly Now. Beautiful, beautiful song. He died of natural causes. He was 80 years old. He died at his Houston home. You can hit a case. Go ahead and play it. This was number one for 4 weeks in 1972.
Great song.
Just a beautiful song.
And he also had another hit with Bob Marley.
Well, yeah, so here's the deal, and I didn't know the connection. So he had apparently had first traveled to Jamaica in 1958 while co-starring with Burt Lancaster in a movie called Take a Giant Step, which featured Nash in a dramatic role portraying a black man coming of age in America. Wasn't familiar with that. Yeah. He was fascinated by Jamaica's scenery and music, so he returned in the late 60s to use Jamaican musicians for a pair of singles, which included a cover of Sam Cooke's Cupid. It didn't do well in the U.S., but it hit top 10 in Britain. So he relocated to London in 1971, and he hired Bob Marley as a songwriter, because at the time, Bob wasn't that big. And among...
Just some guy from Delaware.
So. He was kind of getting... Yeah. Mm-hmm. But among the tunes that Bob wrote for Nash was Stir It Up, which was a hit for both of them, because I know mainly Bob Marley's version of that.
Yeah.
Marley used the money he received from writing songs for Nash to start his Tuff Gong record label. In 1972, Nash returned to Jamaica and recruited most of Bob's band, the Wailers, to help him record an original composition called I Can See Clearly Now. And the track entered the Hot 100 September 9, 1972, hit the top spot on the 4th. And stay there for a solid month.
Stir It Up, I think, is my favorite Marley song.
Oh.
Yeah, and I believe he wrote it about the women in his life. I believe he was sitting on the front porch, and they were sweeping. And he was talking about them, stirring it up.
I recently,
A
couple of weeks ago, I watched a documentary about Bob Marley. I think it's just called Marley. It is fantastic. I was getting emotional watching this, and I've never really sat and listened to the lyrics of Is This Love? I'm even getting a little choked up thinking about it right now, but it was just, oh, man, it was so spot on. It's really a good watch if you guys ever want to get a taste as to why Bob Marley was so amazing.
Because I watched a documentary called Marley and Me, and there was no reggae in it at all.
There's crying in that, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Can I hear Johnny Nash's version of Stir It Up? Because I have never heard it before.
Yeah, go ahead. By the way, I Can See Clearly Now. Stir it up. Okay. Little darling, stir it up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been a long, long time. Yeah.
Well, nice.
Yeah. By the way, a cover version of I Can See Clearly Now resurfaced in 1993. Cool Runnings. Jimmy Cliff had done a cover of that and kind of brought it back into the spotlight. So, sad news. Johnny Nash, 80 years old. You know what? I'll just do one more thing, and that's it. Billy Joe Armstrong had kept fans entertained during quarantine with his No Fun Mondays series. And he posted covers to YouTube each week, including songs like I Think We're Alone Now, John Lennon's Give Me Some Truth, and the theme to Tom Hanks's film That Thing You Do. Now those songs will be released into a 14-song collection on November 27th.
Why not?
On vinyl, CD, and digital. Billboard reports that the singles from No Fun Mondays will be made available on streaming services every week in the run-up to the release. So that should be pretty cool.
Excellent.
All right. And that is my music news report for you today. We're going to take a break. We will come back in a moment and wrap things up. Not before I give away one final $25 gift card from the Brick and Barrel, who are here this morning as part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. Visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. By the way, take caller number 10. We'll give you this prize. And I'll give you the gift card. But they're going to deliver everything you need to kick off your at-home football weekend in style, like a case of Bud Light Platinum, a case of custom WMMR Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and a gift card to a local restaurant like the Brick and Barrel. So that $25 gift card goes caller number 10. We'll be back in just a moment.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Oh. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit and work nicely if you're one of those "this is my costume" kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
You know, like I said, the outpouring of tributes and so on online, you're going to be able to see plenty and maybe check out some videos you've never seen of him and the band or whatever, maybe interviews. And you can go to WMMR.com because we'll be posting stuff like that and have been posting stuff like that. So thank you to Ike Richmond for coming on this morning. Ike has had a long history with the band. He's a promotions guy at the Wells Fargo Center and was friends with Ed. And then we also had comedian Craig Gass, who actually lived for about 5 months in the 5150 studio in Ed's backyard.
Great stories.
Great stories. And completely unrelated to that at all, but a wonderful conversation with Beverly Goldberg.
Yeah, we love her.
As dramatized on the show The Goldberg, she's the real deal. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Awesome having her on this morning. Pierre Robert has arrived. Hey, man.
Good day.
How are you, sir?
Good. I had Ike on yesterday with Jackson as well. He's been to 69 Van Halen shows.
Is that unbelievable?
He has a knowledge database within his head of Van Halen information, which is stunning. One of the things I was fascinated with, and Ike talked about, I missed the conversation that you guys had with him, but was going to the Ike actually went to the Smithsonian when Ed presented a couple of his guitars down there.
Yeah.
Did he talk about that with
you guys? He talks about, like, the conversation, the sort of talk that he gave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Ike has seen a lot of upfront things, and he's also been to 5150. And he described for us yesterday walking up there, and there's a golf cart that's decked out like the guitar.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, just things like that, you know, yeah, that most of us never will get a chance to experience, and you know, he so that was a cool window that he gave us yesterday. Yeah.
By the way, I do realize we played "So This Is Love" twice. That was my fault. I forgot we played it earlier. As soon as he started, I'm like, oh yeah. So don't play "This Is So This Is Love" on your show.
I was going to open with
you should open with "So This Is Love." Yeah. Hey, by the way, when Jackson did his last backyard broadcast, I'd stop by because it was in Bluebells, not too far from where I live. And the guy whose house he was at had made himself a 100% exact replica of the Frankenstrat, so Eddie's guitar, down to the cigarette burn marks on it. He had taken detail. He had looked at detailed photos. It was amazing. It was so even down to the quarter that's embedded on it.
I admire that.
It was
that ability to do stuff like that.
Cool. And I got to hold it and, you know, and check it out. So it was really neat. I mean, and you know, it made me think of that when you mentioned that in the Smithsonian, because I think they put a replica up in the Smithsonian, but it was that identical to it. It's just such an iconic instrument.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Damn it. I meant to wear my Van Halen shoes today.
You can borrow Preston.
Damn it.
Mine on.
I was running out the door.
I thought we would be matching today for sure.
I've got Chuck Van Halen Frankenstein, or whatever they call it, Frankenstein.
Strat
sneaks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll wear them tomorrow.
Van Halen's brother, who only appeared on a few episodes. And then
mine are more like Vans.
You have Vans. So wear yours tomorrow again so we can wear them.
Wear right,
yeah.
These, it's kind of tough, though, because when I ordered these, I wanted them so bad they didn't have them in my size, and they're a size too big.
Oh.
So they're really loose when I walk around in them.
Maybe just leave them here and walk barefoot out to your car
sometimes,
they'll be here in the morning.
Sometimes I wear two pairs of socks.
Oh, that's
ooh,
good.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Socks. Yeah. That's good.
Or stuff bread in them.
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Wow. We got some leftover
contours
sandwiches.
Contours to your feet. Pretzel to bread.
Yeah, we have some leftover sandwiches that we could use. All right, anyway, that was from the Brick and Barrel, by the way. You want to do the letter today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
I, as in internets.
All right. And we give away our prize on Friday, so we're 2 days off from that. $300 Red Robin gift card. Yum, how you want. Whether it's dine-in, delivery, to-go, or outdoor heated tents. Red Robin, yum.
Oh, yeah.
Get the gift cards only valid at the 21 Red Robin locations in Eastern and Central PA owned by the Lehigh Valley Restaurant Group. You can visit redrobinpa.com for more information. What is happening on the show today?
Well, so I'm a bit confused because I have we got to do Van Halen, but it's John Mellencamp's birthday, which I didn't want to let go by. And I have a letter from some nurses who work really hard, and today's the only day they can listen. They ask for a block of Bruce. So what I think I'm going to do is from noon to 1, we'll do Bruce, and then we'll do Mellencamp. And then from 1 to 2, we'll do all Van Halen.
I think that's that fair, especially since you did a nice tribute yesterday, you guys. So that's, yeah.
Thank you for coming on with us yesterday, by the way.
Oh, yeah, too. No problem.
You know, it's, I mean, Marissa was working really hard behind the scenes. I mean, she was here still when I was leaving at 5:45. Marissa was still here. God
of course.
Bless her.
Yeah.
That she's the hardest working girl in show business.
She reminds me of you.
She does remind me of me, by God.
Kiss me a pretty horse and marry me a pretty horse.
I got to marry a horse. Kiss me a pretty girl. I sound just like the Duke.
You
don't
do.
You think?
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny.
I mean,
unbelievable. Yeah.
They
it's
really
like
wanted
here.
Me to do voiceovers when I was a kid because I had it down so much. At any rate, where was I?
You were kissing a pretty horse.
I was kissing a horse.
No, you're talking
and
about
his
Marissa.
His name was Mr. Ed.
You thanked me for calling in yesterday.
Oh, yes. Oh, and Marissa was working really hard. Sarah was working really hard behind the scenes. So was Pancake. We pulled up all kinds of stuff. And you called in, and I called in. So we had a nice tribute yesterday, and I love that you guys have been doing Van Halen songs exclusively today. And, oh, I just see your Van Halen T-shirt, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm all decked out today.
That's good.
Yeah, we've had to do it too much. We had an entire morning of the Eagles. We had an entire morning of Bowie. We did an entire morning of Chris Cornell and, you know, I mean,
Rush. Petty.
Rush and Petty and, you know,
well,
yeah.
Think about it. Bowie was where it began a couple of years ago. Bowie
we kind of knew was coming.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
No. We did not. He had been quiet, but there was not a word that he was ill.
Neil Peart was.
Oh, I thought there was. Neil was out of the blue.
Yeah. Neil was out of the blue. To my knowledge, Bowie was out of the blue.
I hadn't heard a damn thing about Bowie being ill, and that we were surprised at how he was able to keep that out of the public knowledge.
Right, because Marcus called me at home, like on a Sunday night at 2:30 in the morning. And, of course, I was still up, and I said, don't go with it until we can verify it. And I went out and listened to the BBC in my car, and they weren't even announcing it. And finally they did. I said, well, we better go with it. And so we went on with, like, at 3 in the morning with Bowie. But that was where it began. It's sort of like that almost unleashed these, you know.
Well, Petty came out of the blue.
Right.
Yep.
Petty had been battling some issues.
Yeah, Chris Cornell came out of the blue. Prince came out of the blue. I mean, it's been a rough few years. Some of these guys are getting
Chester.
Up. Chester. Yeah, so it's been difficult. But
some were not. Sorry. Well, some were not as surprising. Like, I mean, as sad as it was, when Scott Weiland passed, I was not surprised. He was not in good health.
I take solace in the fact that MMR is here for that, though. And I'm not saying this as anything to do with self-promotion, but I found myself tuning into the radio station as a fan and as a listener all day yesterday, and there's comfort in that, and the fact that you guys were able to come on and talk about it, that we continued it on today, I think that's really cool that MMR is able to talk about these things even in difficult times.
The hard part about it is that these guys didn't live long enough.
No,
you know
right,
what I mean? So
right.
You know, you have Johnny Nash pass, who was 80 years old. It's horrible. He lived a great full life, right. You know. So that's the really sad part about this.
Eddie Van Halen, 65.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing about the station, to your point, Nick, is it's I think radio's a good radio is like a community center, you know. And we're a family, and so it wasn't surprising that you came on, that I stayed, that everyone just pitched in, and listeners are part of that family. And it goes back to when John Lennon was shot. I wasn't even here. But they told me about how people gathered on Rittenhouse Square, which was where the station was, and lit candles and played guitar. And Michael Tiersen was playing John Lennon music well into the night. When Jerry Garcia passed, I was doing the mornings. We were across town at 5th and Market, and it was about noon. And I came back on the air with Bubba, and we played Dead music for hours. And then people gathered that night on Independence Mall. Hundreds and hundreds of people. So they didn't go. They went where we were, you know, to have some kind of communal experience. And I found that a really touching thing, very cool thing.
It helps with the healing.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we got to wrap. We got to make way for Pierre to heal you, as he will. Place your hand on the radio. and I want to thank our sponsors. The President's Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets.
Jet.
Fred. That's right.
Sorry.
Fresh foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on our program, Melissa Rivers.
Melissa Rivers of Joan Rivers' daughter fame.
That is correct. She will be joining us. And this just in, tomorrow morning, we'll also have Annabelle.
Annabelle. Oh, my God. Wow. I love that listener that won. She was so excited. And then the next guy that won was nowhere near as excited. But that Annabelle, man, she was hot.
By the way, she almost passed out from yelling too much, really? We found out. Yeah, I kid you not. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Man, I got bad news flash. I just found out Eddie Van Halen died. Well, off to the state store. Some bitch.
Next message.
A big I love you to Eddie Van Halen, a part of everybody's youth. No sad, bro.
Next message.
2020 is the worst year ever. First Neil, now Eddie. Yo, 2020. Seriously.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.